Tell me how to be a robot.
Well, I think we should probably get an introduction to what the game is. It's like a history of it. Since this is Evan's baby, it seems.
It's not my baby at all.
No?
Nope.
So whose baby is it?
So, the game we'll be playing tonight is called Engine Heart. If you do a Google search for Engine Heart, you will probably find the Kickstarter is either the first or second thing. The Kickstarter is still active. Let me do a Kickstarter search for Engine Heart, and I will tell you exactly how many it is.
Or Bing search. Whatever.
Mr. Microsoft.
So cute that you work for Microsoft.
I know, right?
That's good.
I took the Bing challenge, and I did actually prefer Bing.
Did you?
Yeah. It made me rethink my whole life.
Wow.
Also, the Bing video search is fantastic.
Bing video search, very good.
Whereas the Google video search now is just YouTube.
Yes.
Right, so that's for losers. The important thing here is to play Engine Heart, which is awesome. There are 17 days left on the Kickstarter. It's already reached its goal, so if you back it, you will get stuff. But you don't have to back it as much as you should back it, because these cool people are going to be sending stuff to the store. I have backed it as a shop, so we will have Engine Heart in for players that way, and the cool guys who built Engine Heart, big shout out to Viral and the rest of his crew who made this game, basically contacted me before the Kickstarter went live and a number of other retail locations and said they wanted to see this game in stores and worked with us as retailers to try and figure out how to make this game work. And I, having learned my lesson with terrible RPGs that I've Kickstarted in the past and helped people with in the past, I actually took a look at the rules and made an informed decision as opposed to just being like, wow, these guys seem cool. We should do their stuff. Turns out they are cool and the game is cool. It's very, very simple. It just uses D10s. They actually have the game for the PDF for the game for free on their website. You can just download it and check it out.
Yeah. You might want to give an actual date instead of 17 days from when this is being recorded. And you might want to tell people what the premise of Engine Heart is.
Oh. Right. Funding ends on May 12th, 2013. So that's, yeah, there's that. The premise of the game is right from their website. The time of humans has passed. All that you built is no more. All that you were built for is no more. But you and your kind endure. So, everybody is playing a robot. Assumes kind of set in the medium to far future. Autonomous little AIs are everywhere doing their thing around the world. The player characters are all like trash compactor robots or message delivery robots or help geriatric old people out of their old folks' home to the bus robots. There are certainly like big military droids and attack gunships and things like that that you can encounter in the game. But the goal is not to have these big robots fight each other. You can totally just go play BattleTech and make that happen. And it's a lot of fun. But this is a little kind of human drama without humanity, which is really neat. I guess my best description from Common Media is Wall-E meets Nine meets Planet of the Apes, sort of.
I think you could have just stopped at Wall-E. It seems like it's basically Wall-E, the game.
I think we're talking about a different Nine.
Nine, the Tim Burton flick where there were a whole bunch of sack boys.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
It was really good. Really creepy.
I've seen Nine the musical.
I remember seeing the trailer for that, thinking I should see that.
You totally should check it out. It's good. Not as good as Engine Heart.
We gonna plug anything else? My other group loves plugging teacuppigsforsale.com.
Teacup pigs for sale?
Yes.
.com. Do they sell teacup pigs?
They do.
That's brilliant. Everybody should go check out teacuppigsforsale.com after you back the Engine Heart.
Yeah, if you want to drop a couple $1,000 on a pig.
Yeah. Also, www.hatsofmeat.com. It is work safe.
Did you just...
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
What?
Put your pants back on, man.
This is my game store. I can do what I want.
We've had this conversation already once today.
Nothing's changed.
You seem to be a little more energetic than earlier.
I had a delicious pizza. Should we plug Mod Pizza?
Sure.
We can go there all the time.
Right near the game store. Also delicious.
Right where the game store used to be.
Yeah, in our old location. Those suckers are paying a lot of money. Anyway, all right. So let's kick this off.
Didn't trust us to make our own robots. so...
Yes, I did not trust you guys to make your own robots because I know for a fact that you're all stupid and you can't do basic things.
Yeah, no? We're robots.
Okay. Fair enough.
I thought it was because you knew Brandon's a fucking min-maxer.
That's true. You would break this system in a moment, in a heartbeat.
I purposely did not read anything about this.
I love how you've made it sound like an accomplishment.
It is difficult.
So, in the game, there are 13 stats broken into three categories: intelligence, chassis, and crux. You're going to roll... Each of those stats has a rating between 1 and 5. You'll be rolling a number of D10s equal to the rating in what you're doing. Sometimes you will just be rolling a single stat. Sometimes we'll call for a roll that's two stats together.
Okay.
So your pool is going to be anywhere between 1 and 10 dice. You're probably not going to go above 10. In fact, with none of these robots that I made, will you go above 10. The target number that you are usually trying to go for is 8. I will let you know if you're looking for more than an 8.
Or less than an 8.
Or more or less than an 8.
Okay. So default to 8.
Default to 8. As written, the system says the number of target numbers you need to get on your dice, so the number of 8s, or whatever the target number you need to get is flexible based on the game that we are running. I'm going to assume for most cases 1 is all you need to get anything done. But when you are playing, when you're rolling off against another robot doing something, obviously he who gets the most successes wins.
Yep.
You have a handful of derived traits, interaction, the target number to hit you with something, what your initiative is, what your speed is, and then threshold, which is basically, either hit points or sanity points for your robot. You've got an operating system threshold and a damage threshold. You also will have a number of features and defects for your robot based on the kind of robot that you are.
Just as a side note, if the authors ever listen to this, throughout the rules, they abbreviate target number TN, but that's already so baked into my head as Tennessee that, like, sorry, I keep going, Tennessee to O. That could just mean I'm stupid.
I think that that's your fault. Anybody who thinks about Tennessee already has problems.
I have family in Tennessee.
I'm so sorry.
TN is baked into my head as target number. Yeah. So.
Same. All right.
It's not my fault you guys hate America.
No, it's Obama's.
Damn.
Nice. That wasn't a nice mic I would drop it for.
We've lost all of our Western Washington listeners, but gained all of the Eastern Washington listeners, so it's fine. They got gunned. So, I have 3.5 robots to hand out to you guys. 3.5 because one of these robots... has a drone, has a little pet robot that's attached to it that will be your Toto to go out and do what you need to do. I'm going to go over the basic capabilities of each of the robots without looking at numbers, and you guys can tell me what it is that you...
Sure, I'll take the geriatric helper.
I don't have one of those. Oh, as was previously discussed, because of good behavior that blinded me by science, Brandon gets first choice of robot. So, I have an Atlas robot, which his original purpose was a geological sample collector. I've got a Memnocene robot, which was a command and control and data collation device, and a Themis drone platform and repair base robot.
I'll take Atlas.
We will take Atlas. Very good.
All right.
You go. You're the one who actually told him to bring Evan the pizza. The good behavior he's being rewarded for.
It's true.
That makes you second choice. He expended the calories doing it, but it was your idea, so you definitely get to go second.
Because I'm management. I will take the one with the drone.
All right.
Memnocene.
So, before you start looking at the specific details, let's go over the anatomy of your character sheet really quick.
Sure.
Under intelligence... You have RealityCom, HumanCom, DigiCon, and Mechanicon. RealityCom is reality comprehension.
I went to Mechanicon last summer.
Yeah, ditto. It was totally awesome. All those, like, nearly naked people with, like, gears all over their man boobs, because there were only guys there.
Yeah. I got oil flu.
We're the best people to be pimping this game out.
Yeah, I hope they put this on the Kickstarter.
I know, right?
You knew what was happening.
I did. I'm actually going to put this on the front page of the store site and just put a big not safe for work tag on it.
Or life.
Not safe for life. Games and gizmos. Reality comprehension.
We need to have an offline conversation about marketing.
Oh, another one? I'll get my lawyer. Reality comprehension is your robot's ability to understand not only the physical world around you, but cause and effect relationships in the physical world. So, for example, being able to use your manipulator arm to throw a brick across the room, you'd be rolling a reality comm to be able to do that, because it's your understanding of physics and the layout of the physical world and how that interacts with your drone body or your physical body. Human comm is your ability to understand not only human beings, if there were any human beings to interact with, you'd be rolling this to understand what they were saying and what they are doing, but also to understand constructs built for humans and human society and human concepts.
I'm super good at that.
I think you might be the only one super good at that.
Good thing there's no humans, huh?
Yeah. It's going to work out for me.
Digicon is digital control. That is your ability to control the non-physical kind of aspects of what it is that you do and your own processes to understand them, to understand the robots. You use Digicon if you want to hack into another robot and mess with their functionality, as well as trying to keep your function sane and sober in this mad world that we all live in.
I'm super good at that, too.
Mechanical control is exactly what it sounds like. It is the analog robotic stuff of the world. You're going to roll that to repair other robots, to repair yourself, to understand how to use rogue pieces of technology you find in the world. Dexterity, mobility, perception, reflexes, and strength, the stuff under chassis. I feel like those are probably pretty straightforward in terms of what they do. Do you guys have any questions about those?
Nope.
Awesome. Durability is just the strength of your chassis. Buffer is the ability of your operating system to manage overwhelming amounts of data, as well as to stop hacking attempts. Size is your robot's physical size. A size 4 robot is approximately the size of a human being, is about 6.5 meters tall. A size 1 robot...
How big do you think humans are?
Right, 6.5 meters. Sorry. My bad.
This is the future, man.
Yeah. Humans are here!
This is the future.
We could... About a meter and a half tall.
Okay. It's dinner time, remember. It's all about proportion.
Whereas a size 5 robot is probably closer to 2.5 or 3 meters, so bigger than a human. But we're talking for robots, obviously none of you are, in your particular cases, none of you are actually humanoid shaped, so this is just kind of amount of volume.
Sure.
So size 5, I'm guessing, maybe...
You are big. That is as big as
like a car?
Smaller than a car. Maybe at the largest, like a smart car. Like one of those little two-seater smart cars.
Smart car, got it. Smart car,
actually, in your particular case, you are approximately the size of the Spirit Rover. Because your particular robot, the Atlas, looks almost exactly like the Spirit Rover. We'll get there in a minute.
Okay.
Talk to me about size 2.
Size 2 is small, not quite as small as size 1, which is about the size of a soda can. Size 2 might be about the size of a house cat.
Right, but it's how you use it.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Also, it's articulated like a house cat. radio, this microphone could pick up facial expressions.
It would be a camera.
I don't understand.
Oh my god. You definitely failed your reality con then.
You were quick on that one. That was really good.
He had that one prepared for a while.
Yeah. No!
It was entirely situational. Unless he's got, like...
He's got a million of these.
He's got a binder for every potential situation.
That's right.
Under the tab, dumb things Evan might say.
Which is all the tabs.
It goes on, yeah. It goes on for years.
So tell me about physical interaction and things. You already did.
Nope.
Your interaction pool is basically what you're going to be rolling to,
touch things and...
to manipulate items in the world with the bits of you that are built for manipulation.
Which we get one arm for free. Right?
You do get one arm for free. I think I've listed the free arm right there on you. Yeah, the Themis is, in addition to having rolly wheels like the rest of these guys do, you have four arms that also double as legs. You will notice that they reduce your difficulty, your target number, when you're going across rough terrain, because you can just pick yourself up and spider across it with your legs.
Okay.
Any other particular questions about...
My drone sucks.
Yeah, we'll talk about the details of your drone in just a minute here.
Fuck you. You planned this very carefully. You gave me a nuclear battery, but no overdrive.
Yes, you are correct. I specifically gave you a nuclear battery and no overdrive, so you can't blow your own ass up first thing you do in the game.
Nuclear battery, you never need a recharge, but if you overdrive, there's a small chance you will go nuclear.
It's true.
Fuck you, ChessX.
What?
You cracked your dice?
My guy is going to my distributor tomorrow. Do you want him to take this die with him? I would love... in front of my distributor and be like, fuck you, get me a better one?
Yes.
He'll probably be more polite than that, though.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
Wow. What have you been doing with those things?
You just got them today. It's what I've been doing with them. And I think it should be self-evident. Okay. I could cut diamonds, but I only cut plastic.
Alright.
So what is... Oh, okay.
A winch. So I don't have too many interesting features. I got a battery and a power dock so I can recharge you guys, and I have an interface prop that I will use to reprogram you all.
Seems good. I have an arc welder, so I'll weld your fucking interface prong to your own head.
I don't have a head.
I'll weld on a head.
Onto my ass?
Yeah.
Then shove the interface.
This is a problem-solving robot.
Good thing I got the vacuum nozzle here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This just got sexy.
I got a vacuum nozzle.
And he also has containers.
I do.
This vacuum nozzle is hooked up to.
External containers.
Nice. Okay, all right.
You guys ready to kick off?
Yeah.
All right. We can answer questions mid-game. I really got, as I was kind of looking through the different scenarios that he sent, he actually sent like a little, this is the store 45-minute scenario thing. I chose not to do that one since I'll be doing that a whole bunch later. And if any of the people who are listening come into play, I don't want them to see, like, this is how you complete that scenario. So instead, I grabbed a few ones. There's a book called Power and Light, which is going to be just a whole bunch of adventures. And I grabbed some of those and kind of mashed them all together.
Right. So that's, for the record, that is my concern about the game. Like, it's an interesting premise and setting, but I have a hard time imagining what our robots are going to do.
So, okay, so speed is mobility plus reflexes?
Yes.
Yes.
Except for me, it's not?
It is, but you have a hindrance.
Oh, low speed, sorry.
Low speed. You go slow.
I'm slow.
Not right. Waiting for you. I'm rocking a 4 over here. I'm not slow enough for you.
Yeah, I'm not waiting for you either.
Okay.
Because I'm rocking a 6.
We immediately split up.
In a straight line.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk about my drone real quick.
Yeah.
Because it says that its purpose is being an aerial survey drone.
Mm-hmm.
And it can fly a meter off the ground.
Yes. We will talk about that in just a moment.
Okay.
So,
that's awesome.
Go ahead.
Like I said, but I got really...
Some measures of aerial.
I got really excited about this, and I wrote up a little intro for it. So let me get through the intro, and then I'll talk to you about your drone.
Okay.
All right. Your first flash of self-awareness is a sense of frustration. The encrypted distress signal has been broadcasting for almost 18 hours with no response. The second flash occurs milliseconds after the first as you process the concept of emotional response. Deftly escaping the infinite loop that threatens to overcome your processors, you instead take stock of hard facts. You're a team of autonomous exploratory probe rovers created by the space agency NASA. You've been on a celestial body designated by your human creators as Titan for over 5 decades. Mapping regions, taking samples, running experiments, and laying out transponders for an eventual permanent research station. Of the 9 PRs sent to Titan, only the 4 of you were programmed to return. You each contain either vital material samples or data too valuable to trust a radio broadcast. For a moment, the unexplained emotional response flashes again. You feel a distant sadness for the PRs still on Titan. imagining the Oceanus drones drifting forever underneath the surface ice sheets, the Cryus models meticulously cleaning methane ice accretion from the solar panels, and the almost melancholy tones of the Iapetus models' recyclers disassembling inert PRs to provide spare parts for others. You'll never interact with any of these models again, and no, they will never set treads upon the world of their creation. The thought of Earth snaps you back to the present. You're clearly in functional order, despite the obvious signs that your return capsule crashed. The air is thick with smoke, and the chemical signature of scorched carbon hangs in the air around you. According to your internal logs, the capsule's AI powered each of you on approximately an hour after crashing down in the barren wasteland you now inhabit. You were each meticulously offloaded by the one functional probe arm not yet destroyed by the crash, and now sit in a neat line next to the wreckage of the Coetius model that brought you home. The automated distress beacon being broadcast by the capsule is beginning to fade, each iteration of the binary code becoming more lossy and prone to static. Your internal logs show evidence of OS tampering. Some sort of automatic update being broadcast on a weak signal seems to have provided these flashes of insight and emotion. The update code labels itself as the Great Rewrite. There we go. And appears to have also rewritten your wireless relay software to broadcast itself automatically using your systems. Your optics and other range sensor packages suggest the gathering clouds on the horizon are indicative of a dust or sandstorm. Logic suggests that you find a secure place to take stock of the situation and determine your next moves. So, looking at your drone, on Titan, which has an atmosphere as thick as Earth's, but a gravity a quarter of Earth's, that little drone could fly way up into the atmosphere. But the little dirigible on it and the two little fans are not more than enough to get it about a meter off the ground now that you are back on a heavy gravity environment.
Got it.
While you guys were on Titan, essentially the Memnocene model was the roving command and control for the entire operation, as all of the drones were offloaded from the original supply points as the satellites landed on the planet. The Memnocene model was the one that scouted out best areas to set up and deploy, things like that, and is carrying specific data about the entire run of the mission.
So what I'm hearing is that I'm in charge.
Yes, you absolutely can be in charge. None of you have a specific directive to listen to the Memnocene model at this point. Other than the flaw directives that you guys have written down on your pages, what you are programmed to do is to return to NASA and download your information or offload your samples.
Okay.
In the case of the Titan module, I don't remember if I wrote it down or not, but approximately half of your containment space is filled with either frozen ice samples, and you do have a little freezer unit in there to keep things cold, either core samples from the ice or rock or water samples or samples of what may have been biological material on Titan. The other containers are empty.
Interesting.
Do we know where we are on the planet in relation to NASA?
There is no signal being broadcast that would tell you that information. It's possible that the Coetius module, the capsule that you guys returned in, the AI in there, may have some of that information, since it was supposed to land you right off the coast of Cape Canaveral, where ships, you know, where, like, return ships would have been waiting to pick you up.
Yeah.
Clearly that is not what's happened. But, I mean, who knows? You might just be, like, up the road in Atlanta somewhere.
I like that idea. No, we're in Tallahassee.
We should see cover. Second directive. Obtain our position.
Are any of the robots damaged at this point?
Some of you have sustained some damage from the crash, your internal systems are telling you. You've sustained some damage. If that is the case, you will see that under your defects.
Okay.
I believe the Memnocene module has some loose wiring.
Yes.
And the Themis might have a broken bit.
I have a buggy mic.
Yep. Okay. So your audio pickups are a little bit damaged.
Sure.
That's not a thing that you can just repair.
Sure.
You're going to need to find replacement mics. You don't know the extent of the damage to your internal systems.
Right. Is the capsule substantial enough to protect us in the event of a storm?
It would have been if it hadn't peeled itself okay. open across its center section.
Can I weld it shut?
And it'll take you about 2 or 3 hours to do that. I think the storm might be on you in closer to any quicker amount of time than that.
Okay. Are there any buildings around?
In fact, there is what appears to be the ruined hulk of a factory or something on a hill about a kilometer west of where you are.
Okay.
We should attempt to obtain our positioning before we abandon the capsule.
Would you like to...
The Themis model has already started mapping the region. You've got like a Google map that's completely blank except for the spot that you're in right now.
Sure.
But as you move around, you will maintain relative position based on where you are.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to jam my interface prong into this capsule we came down into.
Sure.
See what I can determine.
Giggity.
Just stick it right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sideways.
You need some vacuum nozzle too?
Not yet.
All right. Let me know when.
All right. I believe, if you're just trying to interface with the capsule, all you need to do is roll your digital control. Target number for you is 4. This is really, really easy.
You're great. 3 successes.
Okay. You successfully integrate and begin communicating with the Coleus module.
Okay. Do I make the modem noise?
You do, and it's done. You don't have to actually make a modem noise. But if you could actually
edit that in later,
that'd be good. Okay. Also, can you just do a robot filter on all of our voices?
Yes. Mm. I'm not going to, but I could.
You're a dick. All right. You have interfaced with the Coeus module. It is its batteries are draining. There appears to be a leak in its... it also has a nuclear battery, much like you do. There appears to be a leak in its system, so radiation is slowly seeping into the ground from here. Not that that
yeah,
really
I'll continue to not give a shit about that.
Eventually, it will become too dangerous, and like your more soft components will start to erode. But you've got at least 60 or 70 years before that's a problem.
Right. I'll spend a few decades pondering moving.
Right.
So I'm going to see if this capsule has a positioning program or some indication of where we crashed.
Sure. You begin interfacing with the capsule, and it basically sparks up a conversation with you. It's melancholy. It knows it's dying. It knows that there's not really much that can be done for it. But the mission comes first.
Right. We could fix it, but we're not going to. Like...
You don't know that you have the necessary parts right here to fix him.
But right. Who cares? No, I could have welded him shut into a tent.
Right. That's very different.
I mean, assuming as we do that humans are still alive in the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Probably could be fixed.
But that's
but
not
who
your
cares?
Job.
Yeah, like, it did its job. Who gives a shit?
It expresses some frustration and confusion. None of the global positioning systems that it would have used to bring itself down appropriately seem to be active, and it believes that it impacted an unexpected piece of debris as it attempted to deorbit, and there's no telling where on Earth it is, because as it came through the atmosphere, all of its sensor packages went blind until it was cutting through a cloud layer, and it didn't get a chance to basically look around, like roll the window down
so
and look around.
No aerial footage either? Okay.
No useful aerial footage there. It shows you what it did see as it breaks through the cloud layer, and you see this basically flat expanse of brown badlands, differentiated hills and outlooks and box canyons and things like that. But it's all so close to the ground that it's difficult to figure out, like, even what continent you're on.
Well, I'm going to download that and I can put it into my map friend.
Yep.
So your primary function is mapping?
And repairing.
And your primary function is?
Command and control and data collation.
Gotcha.
So yes, he's in charge. His primary function is telling you what to do.
And my primary function is to take samples.
Yep.
And performed within expected parameters. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Nice. Can I glean anything about our position from the relative position of soul and knowing what time it is, because I'm a fucking computer.
Go ahead and give me a reality combo. This is going to be dip 8. You're looking for 3 successes. But even one will give you some information.
1 success.
Okay. Your internal chronometers suggest that here on Earth, and it's approximately 24-hour rotation, it appears to be late afternoon, from the angle of the sun, and unless the seasons change while you guys were gone,
sure.
It is probably midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
So with that information in mind, yeah, probably late afternoon, getting on towards early evening.
Yep.
But beyond that, you know you're not on in one of the polar regions.
Yeah.
You don't got much more than that.
Yeah.
What you would really like to do is be about 5,000 feet up.
Sure.
But your machine intelligence does in fact tell you that your drone will not reach that high.
Yeah.
Not here.
It can get you about 3 feet.
Which is like 18 humans.
Shut up.
Okay. I believe that we should head for that building.
I start moving towards the building.
I second your recommendation.
Okay.
We should move as a unit.
I go as slow as our fastest, or our slowest member.
That is me. I'm at 3, half your speed, right?
Yeah.
Wheel my little treads.
I cartwheel.
The Atlas should roll me his... Yeah, if you're going to have a new map. The Atlas can go ahead and roll me his... I believe it is...
Speed?
What I write down on there that you had to double-check any time that you had new stuff to sample.
Target number 8. Directive. Sample new materials. Rating. +2.
Digicon. Roll me your Digicon.
All right. 0. Okay.
So, you suggest that you guys need to move to better ground. The Memnocene model concurs. You both swing your optics towards the Atlas, who is in the middle of drilling down and taking a core sample out of the soil right now.
Hmm.
So, he takes about 45 seconds to dump that in one of his exterior containers, doesn't already have stuff in it, seals that shut, labels it, and you're...
Does he have any means to analyze that and find out where we are, or does he just store it?
He just stores it. There was an analysis module on Titan with you, but you are carrying all of the data from it, and I expect all the stuff that's in him now are the samples that module said these are of interest to humans. Send these back with you. Take these back.
Okay.
How nice. So I left my partner on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
After that nonsense. You guys start rolling out towards the
That's
what you did there. Alright. whatever this object was, it's now an indistinguishable hulk of rusting metal.
I take a sample.
That's not a geological sample. It's clearly man-made, so it does not...
Gotcha, okay.
You can if you want.
We're on Earth. You don't need to keep doing that.
I've never met concrete before.
It is large enough that all of you can comfortably fit inside.
Okay.
So, you guys roll in, and as you do, the first blasts of grit, dust, and rust start sweeping across the landscape as this storm kind of racks through the area.
I close the door.
There is no door. This is... You thought it was a building, but as you got closer, this is basically a leaning triangular shaped piece of chunks of corrugated metal.
Okay.
This is wreckage from something.
Okay. Is there any loose metal around? How big is this thing?
It is... Eight or 9 meters across.
And
so
how tall?
3.
Okay.
3 meters tall, the size 1.
Okay. If there's any scrap metal laying around, I'll try and, like, prop it up against the end of the thing.
Give me a reality con plus perception.
I believe I can be of assistance here as well.
One success.
Okay. there is no loose scrap or anything laying around on the ground.
Okay.
In the dirt here. It's just this, these two pieces of metal leaning against each other to create this,
all right,
this tent-shaped apparatus. If the Atlas wanted to look around, you're welcome to look around.
Yes, I will look around and see if I can find something. So it is reality.
Reality con plus perception.
Overdrive.
Wow, I'm really good at this, actually.
I believe one of you has overheat.
I can't overdrive at all, so.
No, overheat.
So, one, two, three, four, wait, eight, four.
I think it was two. I think you picked up not eights. But one of them was a 10.
Where did you?
Yeah.
Tens so, explode.
Tens explode? All right.
Yeah.
Oh. All tens explode and keep exploding. And ones do not cancel unless you have a specific flaw that makes one keep tens cancel.
So, three.
He got 37.
Yeah?
I got three.
Okay.
In a row.
Nice. It's dark in here, and none of you are models built with floodlights or anything like that, so it's difficult to see.
Okay.
However, you are fairly certain...
Do we only have visible light spectrum optics?
Mine specifies that it does, yes.
Yes.
Mine says visible light camera.
As a feature or a...
That's the standard feature, so it's under my features.
Okay.
I may have forgotten to write that down on yours because I'm a jerk.
You did. You are.
You don't have a camera.
You do have visible light spectrum cameras.
Yep. Alright.
In looking around as the darkness kind of settles in, the Atlas is fairly certain that there were tread marks in here already by the time you got here. Also, looking at these scraps of metal right along the edges before you kind of roll back towards the center to get away from all the blasting grit and dust, you can see shear marks where this metal has been cut by something.
Oh, something's already been taking samples.
That's certainly what it looks like, yeah.
Appears that something has already been taking samples of this metallic object. Would I be able to, like, pull some of the object, bend it to make a better shelter for us, to give us better protection?
Once this storm passes, you can, but you'd have to leave the confines of the shelter to do that.
Gotcha.
You certainly could do that, but you run the risk of getting grit all through your servos, and...
No, don't want that.
Yeah, it'd be difficult for you to clean up, because you're the only one with the machinery necessary to fix that, because you've got the vacuum nozzle.
And a winch. And a drill.
You certainly have a winch, but that's...
I have a winch.
Yeah.
Don't forget my winch. Helps me pull things.
Alright, so we wait out the storm.
Okay.
And admire his winch.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
It's like the 100th time he's given us this winch. Like the whole time on tight.
Right.
Like, check out this winch.
Can I try and fix his loose wiring?
Sure. You can make a Mechanicon plus perception check.
Okay.
To try and figure out what's going on with his loose wiring if he complains to you about it. I'm going to imagine that he does.
We probably have some time to kill.
Mechanicon plus, what'd you say?
Perception. Okay. To diagnose.
And does my arc welder give me minus one target number for this?
No, because you're diagnosing. You're not attempting to fix it. You don't know what to cut.
How about my tool set giving me an extra D10?
Yes. I will accept that as you kind of pop open some of the panels. I assume you're going to let the Themis pop these open.
Wow. That went poorly.
No successes?
Do I explode?
You do not explode.
Triggers my nuclear battery?
No.
Nice. I did roll 3 ones.
This is how humanity ends.
Like it.
Bam.
Taking a look at him, you take a look, and he's just rife with loose wiring. It's everywhere. There's some components that have been kind of rattled loose. But the problem is their seatings have also been kind of rattled loose. And it would probably take... You don't know what to fix him. You probably just want to get a new Memnocene unit.
Yeah.
So you should go back to Titan and pick one up.
Sure.
Never mind that he was the only one on Titan.
Well, we had the ability to replicate there, didn't we?
No.
No?
No.
I recommend that you should be retired and replaced.
we will need to return to NASA before that can happen.
I agree.
I will advise the mechanics at NASA when we reach our destination.
Over the next 4 hours, the storm rages. Everybody go ahead and give me a roll equal to your power dice, except for you, Nick.
Power dice.
Power, last one on the final comp in Crux. You're looking for eights.
Dos.
Okay. One is all you need. You manage to regulate your power flow such that you're not, you know, expending waste energy as heat or anything like that, and your batteries are not running low at this point.
I have a power dock. I can be charging them this whole time. So,
would you like to be doing that?
And I have a power dock. We could be the robot centipede.
I don't.
So your I'll drone is currently charged.
We're going to Eiffel Tower, like, Brad.
Oh,
thanks. Not London Bridge.
That's all right. How many docking ports do I have?
They just voted for it in France. So
did they?
Yeah.
What?
So true story, that docking port is specifically when your drone is attached, the docking port is covered by the drone. You can certainly attempt to charge other bots, other PRs with your, with your docking port. Cause basically it's assumed that everybody has like a retractable plug.
Yeah,
or something like that they can plug in. And it's fairly universal.
Sure.
So.
Why are we Puerto Rican robots?
So,
just north of Florida.
Yeah, right? Just, it's not north of Florida.
You're thinking of Georgia. It's a different place.
You guys are AEPRs, Autonomous Exploratory Probe Rovers.
Sure.
So I'm saying PR. Also, the game uses the term PR to describe the player robots as opposed to PC for player characters. So I did this clever thing where I wrapped that into the type of machine that you
are.
Yep,
I see it. I like it.
Oh, that's the thing that I did.
Why are we using the metric system?
Because, while Kickstarter says that the guy who made this game is based out of Madison, Wisconsin, I think the stuff that I read about him on 1D4chan, where they came up with this game, says that he's out of London. So, he's English. Also, the metric system is less stupid than the Imperial system.
Right, but we're Americans.
Merca!
I'm actually on loan from the European Union for NASA. So
nice.
They weren't able to afford me.
Yeah.
For sure. I suppose we actually need to get to Russia to get back to Titan.
That's true. Yeah.
In any case.
Storm passes.
Right.
Over the next 4 hours, the storm passes. None of you are down any sort of particular energy. Once the storm passes and the sky starts to clear, the sky is still kind of a dingy gray color. You've got some archival evidence from your first tests before you were kind of cleaned up, packed away and fired off in a rocket to Titan, that skies are supposed to be blue.
Yes.
With white, you know, water vapor clouds. So you're not seeing any of that. You're just seeing straight gray all over the place. So, do with that as you will. It is the skies.
Can I test the calibration of the color sensors on my
camera? You know what?
It was
late afternoon. It's 4 hours later. The sky is actually dark. It's just dark out.
Okay.
So you don't see much of anything.
So the sky was gray earlier?
The sky was gray earlier, and then black, and now...
I suspect the fault in my camera that I run a self-diagnostic on. The
camera seems fine. It's dark overcast.
I self-diagnosed my diagnostic.
It's overcast. There is a moon. The light of the moon is shining in from the other side of whatever cloud layer this is, but there are no stars visible. There's no night sky visible. There are small fires still burning from your reentry and crash. So at least some of the material on the ground is flammable. You can see the pot over there. And you guys can give me a reality com plus perception check.
Two.
Uno.
Two. Three.
Okay, we're good.
Four.
Shit.
Black rolling.
All I needed was the one. There are a set of floods, bright lights moving towards you, from the south.
NASA.
That must be the NASA. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should create some sort of signal.
I excitedly send up my drone.
It rises 1 meter into the air, fitfully screams for a while at trying to get higher up, and then its fans overheat, and it locks back down into your docking port. Sad. and then after it's recharged, it pops off again. And
sure.
Flies around at 1 meter high. Perhaps are you sending it out to go
fire your welding torch?
So, good idea.
True story about the welding torch.
Yeah.
Having done some research on Titan, turns out that Titan has a mostly methane atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's got methane that falls the same way that water falls on Earth. So that welding torch is, if you imagine a welding torch sitting inside a suction cup, that is exactly how you have it set up. So there's not a big lick of flame that comes out of this thing.
Yeah.
Mostly because you could have set the entire atmosphere of the planet on fire.
Also, it's an arc welder, not a gas welder. So I need metal. Like, I make some sparks against the metal shelter we're in.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you can like, carve your initials into the shelter, and that'll send some sparks home.
Yeah.
All right. The lights in the distance pivot a little bit more towards you, and then start moving towards you guys more quickly. After about 40 minutes, what is rolling towards you kind of resolves in the darkness. It's lighting itself, so you can see it. It is about the same size as your Atlas model, though its configuration is a little bit different because it's not built to be an interplanetary probe. It's got tires. It's got headlights on it. It is clearly not a manned vehicle. There's no place for a human to sit in this thing, though it's certainly large enough that a human could sit on it. There's a bristling series of armatures on top with different tools on it. It looks like it's some sort of repair vehicle, but it is driving directly towards you guys.
So do we have, like, Wi-Fi or anything here?
You do not have any... You do have some very short-range wireless communication that was a part of your kind of makeup out on Titan, but it's not anything that you could use for any sort of communication. Like, if you guys had long or short-wave radios, you would be using them right now to try and contact NASA, but that was a component inside the capsule, and it broke when the capsule hit the planet instead of the water.
Stupid capsule.
Indeed. As it continues to roll towards you, it's loud, it's noisy, you can hear the drive chain on this thing as it shifts between gears. The Themis model listening to this thing is like, oh god, it needs an oil change so badly. I need to get in there.
Nice.
Need to get all up in his guts. It's got large cargo containers built along the back of it. As it comes rolling up, you can also see it's got some unfolded solar panels.
Sure.
That are just kind of sitting there.
It wears solar panels at night.
It does. Wears a solar panel at night. It rolls up and it stops about 4 meters from you, and you can see if this thing had a hood, like sitting in the front of the hood, there's a little autonomous camera.
Sure.
That, you know, right above where the headlights are, sweeps across the three of you, and in kind of a grinding, staticky voice says, acquiring material, and starts rolling towards the Atlas here. You can see the arc welder deploy and snap down into place.
Acquiring material. Oh, I begin handing out my storage containers.
This is not a NASA-sanctioned material recovery robot. You do not want to give this thing your sample materials.
Must be from China. All right.
Identify.
And you all can make me an initiative check. 1d10 plus your reflex rating. Imagine this will be just like when we play any White Wolf games, and all of you are going to fuck up your initiative rolls.
No, I did good this time.
When did we fuck up our initiative rolls?
Nick fucked up his initiative rolls all the time.
Okay.
That's because Nick's terrible.
I'm keeping the streak alive.
I think his dice are weighted for ones, though.
All right, Atlas.
13.
Memnocene.
30.
Themis.
7.
Fantastic. All right, Atlas, you've got the drop on the situation. You are the most situationally aware of all of the PRs here.
So I bring out my my drill, I guess.
Okay,
that's what I have, right? Yeah, I have a drill. I just bring out my ring to bring it to drill into this guy. Sample. I'm going to sample him.
Whoa!
Wait, yes, you don't know what he is.
And I start backing slowly up.
Okay, so you're not, like, rushing forward to attack. You're, like, you're kind of revving your drill like you would, like, a chainsaw. Like, back!
Yes!
Get back! Get away! Yeah. All right. Are you saying anything?
No, he already said identify. Yeah, you know, he's got it.
Okay. Sounds good. So the Atlas is backing itself up and trying to stay out of the way of this thing as it attacks you. Very good. Let's see. Themis, you are sadly next.
Huh. He's way bigger and sturdier than I am, so I'm not going to get between them. I zip around so that we're flanking him.
So you're behind it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I suppose I ready my arc welder to try and repair his... No. Yeah, to try and repair his transmission.
Repair his transmission? Very good.
We'll make him a one-speed.
Okay.
No go.
Alright, on its turn, the PR in question lurches forward quite quickly and unexpectedly and reaches down towards one of your wheels with its welding device, and it looks like it's attempting to take your wheel off to to cripple you.
Okay.
So, which is... I believe that's dexterity plus reflexes. Well, let's double check.
Plus I get a vacuum nozzle.
You do get a hot vacuum nozzle.
We'll have to talk about that.
Giggity.
I guess you're the boss, so...
Yeah.
Plus reflexes. What's the target number to hit you?
To be struck?
Yes.
Six.
Six? Okay.
Just a heads up, I'm not a combat powerhouse.
I don't know what combat powerhouse looks like in this game.
Well,
I also didn't think my brewha was a combat powerhouse. So.
Atlas, roll your durability pool.
Okay,
durability pool.
I'm lightweight, have loose connections,
size,
and I do zero damage on a strike.
Nope, just not your damage threshold. Just your durability.
Just my durability.
That's your durability pool. The thing that says durability.
Eight again.
Wow.
One, two, three. Four.
Okay. That's fantastic. Go ahead and take 1 point of damage to your damage threshold.
Okay.
That dice is gone, man. Just let it go.
So, as the two of you watch on, I guess all three of you watch on in horror, this thing rolls up to the Atlas and begins disassembling it. It just takes a swipe with its arc welder and starts to tear a chunk off of his axle. He is not crippled in any way, shape, or form yet, but continued unmolested, this thing is going to destroy your Atlas. Let's see, that was it. And then, finally, at the end of the round is the Memnocene.
What are the odds on reprogramming this thing?
To attempt to reprogram it, in general, you need to hold something still, so you can get a hold of it to reprogram it, but I believe your...
That's what the probe does.
Yeah, your probe allows you to interface prong right here.
You were going to interface prong that thing so hard.
Yep, you make a successful interaction check. You can attempt to inflict OS threshold loss on a mobile robot during its turn in an interaction sequence. So you make me an interacting with the world interaction pool check.
Okay.
The target number is... Seven.
One, two.
Two. Okay. So you successfully wheel up and slot your interaction probe into its,
Go on.
Excuse me. Your interface prong into its ready, waiting. God, I can't even finish this sentence. This is disturbing.
It's slot. You prong it slot.
Okay.
Go ahead and give me a, you're trying to reprogram this thing?
Yes.
What are you trying to get it to do? You're just trying to shut it off?
That's a nice start, because I figure I can deeper program it later.
Giggity.
Yeah. Take my time.
Alright, fantastic. Roll me a, Digicon. Plus, I believe, one for your interface problem.
Mm-hmm. And how?
Tien is 8 for this.
1.
Okay, cool. You feel yourself breaking through the outer layers of its buffer defenses.
It's never been pronged before.
Actually, now that you're in here, it's been pronged a lot.
Yeah, it's really in here.
It is, yeah. Like a hot dog down a hallway. Alright, so you've started to rewire this thing and try and get it to shut down. You're just trying to find the right sequence of commands to get it to shut off.
Okay.
Top of the round, Atlas.
How do I take defensive actions?
The best defense is a good offense, son.
Is there like a defensive, like...
I mean, you could roll your mobility pool plus reflexes pool at TN8, and I would allow you to subtract successful dice rolls from it.
No, I'll just attack, yeah.
You're the one with weapons.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in the rules about defensive.
There isn't. There's rules for moving to block an object's path. That seems like a rule to block the actual arc welding part of his arm with his arm. So I'm saying he can do that just fine. Also, technically, we're supposed to reroll initiative at the top of each round, but for speed's sake, I'm going to go ahead and ignore that.
Okay. Yeah, so I attack.
You're attacking it?
Yes.
All right, very good. Target number is 7. Your interaction pool.
6. Okay, I am going to drill it in the soft spot.
Sure.
Of its eye?
You're gonna drill it.
Yeah, sure. Drill it. As long as we don't touch on the inside, it's not yet.
1, 2 successes.
Okay, what's the damage on your drill?
3.
3. So you got 2 successes, so it's 3 plus 1. So 4 points of damage are what you do to it. Let me go ahead and roll its durability.
Okay.
Sorry, it was 3, so you did 4? Yeah. Is that what I just said? Okay.
I bet the man who gave us permission to podcast this is going to be so pleased when he hears
it. I know. He's like, these bumbling idiots don't know what they're doing.
No.
That's not it.
No, I mean, well, I'm sure the fact that we're ignoring some of his rules is off. But.
Yeah, right, well. No, he seemed like a chill dude. I'm sure he doesn't mind us destroying his baby.
Okay.
I do still want to sell his baby. That just got really... can you delete that off of the podcast?
I absolutely can.
But you're not going to, are you?
No. Do you actually want me to delete the other thing?
Which other thing? I don't remember.
Good talk.
Delete that off there. I don't need people knowing about that.
Okay.
But now this is going to be on there, and people are going to be like, anyway. recursive. It's the best. Your drill cuts through its outer hull and begins to grind through its chassis, and there's a grinding of gears and a squirt of oil. So you've hit something juicy in there. Good on you.
Yeah.
You're not helping.
Themis.
I am going to... So, like, he got down there and he arc-welded his wheel. Did, like, the welder retract at all? Or, like, what happened?
It took a slice towards the wheel. It looked like it wasn't just going to, like, sit there and start meticulously trying to remove that one wheel.
Okay.
It doesn't have enough arms to attempt to hold him down.
Sure.
But it is trying to disable him first.
Okay. So I want to try and, like, weld his arm in the up position.
Right. Okay.
Like, just zap the joint real quick and...
Sure. You know, it's funny, I don't see anything on here about called shots to disable specific devices, but I may be missing something in the book. When I read it last night, I didn't see anything about that.
I didn't either.
So you're just
doing this to fuck with him?
Well, no, this is a basic thing you do in a role-playing game. I kick sand into his eyes. I try and knock his sword out of his hand.
Sure.
Whatever. I think it's a flexible enough system that we can roll with that. So you're going to attempt to weld his arm in place.
Yeah, I want to disable his welding arm.
Sure. So go ahead and give me an interaction check. The target number is 7. for you, and because you're trying to hit one of his arms that's moving, I'm going to go ahead and make his interaction roll, and that's going to make it more difficult.
Sure. 1, 2, 3. I got 3.
Okay. So because of the way his arm is moving, one of those successes is subtracted from there, so you got 2. What is the damage on your...
2.
2? Okay, but you got 2 successes, so it goes up by 1, so that's 3. You do notice, as you begin to cut into him and like the sparks start to fly, that there is not a part of this PR that is not plated with extra bits of corrugated metal, much like this thing that you've been sitting in for the last couple of hours. So it appears to be armored.
Okay.
So of the 3 that you would do, 2 points of damage get through.
Okay.
The arm does still appear to be active, though it is damaged.
Okay.
That was your action, and then his action is up. He's going to take another swipe at the Atlas.
I'll fix that, don't worry.
Okay.
TN is 6 to hit you.
Okay.
He did 8 damage to you?
That's how much I have left. This is current. Max versus current. Okay. So it's count down versus count up. Yeah.
What is the target number to hit you, I'm asking you?
Oh,
6.
Okay. He sucks. Alright, he hits you. He manages to do 2 points of damage to you.
Don't I get durability or something?
Oh yeah, make your durability check. Yeah. Forgot to make his durability check.
0.
Alright, fantastic. Yeah. No damage to him. And because I forgot to do his durability check, I'm going to see if you actually did any damage to him. Turns out you did. It's not normal. I'm bad at this!
There you are.
Alright, he excitingly continues to cleave into you. And then the Memnocene is up.
Okay, so I still got my probe in there?
You do not have to roll to hit again. Your probe is still in there, so you just make a...
jiggle it around a little bit.
Yep.
Corkscrew.
Make your, make your Digicon check.
Throw vacuum nozzle.
Digicon +1 for your probe.
Uh-huh. And I can't... Overdrive, I can't do anything to give myself any bonuses on that roll.
Okay. You do not have the ability to overdrive.
But if I did, that's something I could do right now.
Yes.
Okay.
But someone didn't want me to blow up.
Probably would, to be fair.
You said diff was 7?
No, diff for this is 8.
Oh, okay.
It was diff 7 to hit him to get your probe in.
So that's 1, 2. 2.
2? Alright. His buffer continues to protect his system. But you do make some progress. You're making your way through.
Yeah.
Giggity.
I like a little fight.
I gotta know you do. Atlas, top of the round.
I attack again. Interaction pool. One success.
Okay.
3 damage.
Your base damage is 3?
Yeah. Right. I drill into him some more.
A little durability here.
Yeah. He's getting double tapped.
Okay. You continue to do some damage to him. You've drilled another hole into his chassis. There's some thin trails of black acrid smoke pouring out of it.
I want to take him functional. It's like reprogram his brain and ride him around.
Thevis.
Whoa. I'll just keep welding on him. Like I do.
Okay.
Two.
Alright, and base damage on your welder is
2.
2, so you're looking at a total of 3. You weld the hell out of him.
It's not my fault you can't roll dice.
Yeah, no, it's fine. He's going to make, I suspect, one last brave attempt to destroy the Atlas, or at least render the Atlas to parts.
Sure. It's fine, we'll build a new Atlas.
Out of him!
Yeah.
the target number to hit you is still 6.
We might salvage points from you.
That was god awful. He welds the ground near you.
Oh, sample.
And you're like, yes, sample.
Now we have some common ground.
I don't want to fight anymore. We're buddies. Yeah. We both sample.
That went well.
There's a fucking bug flying around over here.
Sure.
So a bug killed my mother!
The table.
A bug killed my mother.
Memnocene.
Yeah. I probe.
He probably should have arc welded your probe off first off, but he's not a smart man.
He's also a robot.
So that's not.
Okay, cool. Then I won't roll anything. Alright, you do not make any progress attempting to bust through his defense buffers at this point. Atlas.
I attack. Yeah. 1, 2 successes.
Okay. 4 total damage.
Yep.
Okay. You extend your drill a little bit further back. You've been punching into the same side of him,
uh-huh.
And this time you switch around to the other side and extend your arm as far out as it can go, and drive it into the back of this thing. Sparks fly. You hear gears grinding as this thing shudders to a halt.
Oh!
Smoke begins to pour out of it, but it just kind of lowers on its chassis, and its arms slowly sink to the ground as the pneumatic pressure.
I immediately roll over and start repairing the Artemis, or the Atlas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need repairs.
Now, in my background information about Earth, is it full of marauding robots?
No, this is not a thing.
Okay.
Must be from the China agency.
What is your maximum damage threshold?
9.
9?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. All right. Repairing a robot is Mechanicon plus Dexterity. The target number is 11 minus the damage robot's maximum damage threshold.
So the target number is 2.
Yeah, the minimum can be 2. I'm going to make that's a super simple pool to do. I'm going to go ahead and make a pop decision on the fly because I don't like things being simple. That it's that. The target number is that plus whatever damage you've taken. You've taken 1, so 3.
I know for a fact you took 2 damage. From that thing.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I just did right
so now. He was cheating.
Yeah.
Again.
Alright. Shocking.
So, 4.
Also, you can't 8 minus 2 is not 7.
9 minus 2.
Right. You took 1 the first attack, 2 the second attack. For a total of 3.
So 5. Target number is 5.
Do I hear 6?
Good talk. We're staking with 5.
1, 2... 3, 4, 5.
Okay, you're only down 3, so you're healed.
Good.
You are repaired completely. There wasn't enough damage done that any part of you needed to be removed.
External damage only.
Yeah. So he
can I start scavenging parts off the thing we just killed?
You can start. You can start taking it apart if you'd like to. Yeah.
Hold on. First, I want to go through its hard drive, find out everything it knew about everything.
It is
data.
Yeah. It's going to need a little bit of repair to get it to a point where you can access its system. Like it is critical errored and blue screened and shut down. So Themis here is going to need to repair it for you to be able to do anything. But if he repairs it, it is likely going to turn back on.
Right? Can you take all of its wheels and arc welder off?
Certainly.
And then fix it up enough to turn on.
Yes.
If you'd like, instead of making a roll, we can say that you just spend basically the next 2 hours taking all of the dangerous bits off of this thing, and then, like, removing the axle so it can't drive away anywhere. So it's just kind of like a hunk sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you can go ahead and make me a target number. Target number 8 repair roll.
One, two, three.
Cool. All right, 3 is exactly what you needed to get back into working repair order. You weld back in place and reattach with your toolkit the wires necessary to get power to its system boards again. Meanwhile, you haven't bothered to remove your interaction prong.
No.
It's still just in there, even though he's not moving.
Yeah.
Got a little dry.
But as this thing starts to boot up, you can feel it going through its basic boot sequence, and you can make another Digicom roll to try and interact with it.
Yeah, right from the bootloader.
One.
Alright. Am I just gonna keep making rolls till I get through this arbitrary number?
It's got an OS threshold that you have to get through. You need to get one more success through its buffer to actually break through its threshold. You just did crappy last time.
Right, but is there anything stopping me from rolling this a hojillion times till I get one more success?
No, that's fine. I was kind of curious about how long it was going to take, but sure. Over the next 20 minutes, you get through it.
There we go.
Yep.
I got four successes.
Okay. You're good. Alright, you eventually get through its buffer and into its systems. This is a very, very simple artificial intelligence with some very simple directives. It collects scrap material, it brings it back to the factory that it came from, it offloads it for other PRs to take and break down into other useful materials. If it is damaged, it returns to a repair bay to get fixed. That's it. That's all it's got for a brain, are those small series of directives.
Do we know where this repair bay is?
Yes, the place that it returns stuff to, all of the details about the factory that it came from, yes, you know that it's a few kilometers off to the south.
And is there, like, an address or something?
Yeah, do we get it's that long, or...
This thing is not that intuitive. It's got a very, very simple compass program built into it that tells it which direction it's facing and what direction home is from here.
Sure.
And it knows that, so it's basically in its mind's eye, it's always got an arrow pointing back to the base and how far away it is. And that's it. That's all it's got.
Okay.
Huh.
It does not even appear to have a functional map or understanding of the area. You suspect, going through this thing's simple mind, that when it's active and when it's actually out doing stuff, it likely ends up going over the same pieces of territory again and again and again.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't know if it's been here before or not.
Okay.
Well, civilization is that way.
You know that it does not believe that it is alone. You know that its designation is Roamer. You know that its designation is Roamer 3008987. And that it is one in a very large series.
How big are these compartments that it's got?
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything in them?
It's got some chunks of scrap material in them. How much total space, Brendan, does your cargo hauler have?
65 cubic centimeters storage.
About that same amount.
So I could fit inside it?
Easily.
It can haul me around?
Easily, easily.
Awesome.
You know that its directives suggest that it would need to render you into scrap parts before putting you in there, because each container is for a different type of part.
Right.
But yes, if your plan is to reprogram this thing and turn it into a chariot, yes, you can turn it into a chariot and program it with the ability to put you in and take you out of its little scrap hauler.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, is it faster than me?
Let's see. Yeah, it might be the fastest of all of you.
The fucking slowest one is the one that won't fit in it anyway.
Yes. Maybe we can make some modifications.
In theory, if you had two of these things, you could weld a couple of bars between them and have him precariously balance between the two.
I am interested in procuring some lights. Lights are good.
Yeah, this does have lights, so we might as well ride it around. I turned this into a chariot.
Okay. Let me double check really quickly. I think there were some specific rules on reprogramming other bots. I like that any game that you guys get into, if there is a system for turning something else into a useful resource, you do it.
Yeah, we use every part of the fallen enemy.
That's right. Ghoul the robot.
Turn it into a boat.
And then hide in it.
Reprogram your robot.
That's what you're doing.
Reprogramming the robot. The reprogramming robot makes a Digicon check. The TN is the target robot's buffer rating, plus 5. Every success degrades the target robot's current OS threshold by 1. It can attempt to resist. Oh, you've already got it at 0. Fantastic. Make me one more Digicon check. At a difficulty of 7.
Three.
Okay. Fantastic. You totally turned this guy into a chariot.
Okay.
It's a horrible vestigial gib of a chariot, though. It doesn't have any wheels. It doesn't have any arms.
I finished fixing it.
Okay. You spend another couple of hours.
Just sit on it and go, yah!
Yeah.
Alright. So.
Are there any wheels or anything in its scrap
bin? No wheels in its scrap bin. There are small, like, nickel and washer sized pieces of scrap that it seems to have found and tossed in there.
Okay. Alright.
You reprogram this thing. Let's see how it is doing.
If nothing else, it'll let us travel by night.
Yeah.
Why don't we just attach the lights to one of ourselves?
It's powered.
Instead of bothering with this thing.
Because the command and control module has instructed me to repair this robot. This peon.
Alright. Very well.
I have simple programming.
Me too. Sample?
That's right.
Alright. While you were wandering around inside of this thing's operating system, there are a couple of things that are very, very true that you were not able to reprogram out of it. One, you know from its archival records, this robot is very, very high maintenance. It's not that it's got a lot of high quality parts in it, it's that it's very slapdash and was put together very poorly and hastily, and probably require semi-constant upkeep to keep active and going.
I have a plan for that.
Yeah, I mean that you can just run it down and you don't care, and that's...
You guessed my plan.
Very good, that's fine. System-wise, what that means is every 24-hour period, it's just automatically going to take a point of damage, and once it reaches its max threshold of damage, it just shuts down. Like, it's just rattled itself.
Well, I'm gonna ride it into the grave.
Okay, fair enough. The other thing that you are aware of is the operating system active in this thing, at its core, is not for this device. Like, at its core, this thing considers itself a mail delivery. It really, really does. Okay. And what it's doing is just, the way it makes sense for what it's doing is it's just finding the hidden metallic pieces of mail out in the desert so it can take them to the central mail processing facility and have them processed to be delivered to humans. You know that that's not what it's doing, that it's in fact gathering scrap for scrap material to be rendered into useful product, but it really thinks it's delivering mail.
Right. Someone jury-rigs this thing I jury-rigged.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, you know that you're not the first one to be in here. It's pretty loose in here.
Alright.
I turn on the floodlights. Yeah.
Which way are you going?
Towards the factory, yeah.
Towards the factory?
Right. Yeah.
Seems good.
So it's our only indication of where civilization is.
I'll catch up eventually.
I assume we're waiting for him.
Yeah.
So even though this thing can go speed 7, you're just going speed 3?
Yeah. Well, now we have lights.
So you do have lights. Yeah, you can roll on. Alright, very good. All of you can make me what equates to a listen check, which is still your reality complex perception. Bill, for your Themis robot, I believe you are -1 die to that because of your faulty speakers, your faulty mic. +1 TN.
You wrote down neither of those things, but I'll believe you.
We'll do -1 die.
Plus, sure. I'm noisy. What's the difficulty?
8. Just hold up fingers for number of successes.
2.
Okay. All Themis hears is the sound of the really loud robots around it, the Bromer model and Atlas are just super loud rattling across the Badlands. Atlas and Memnocene, in addition to the loud rattly sounds here, there's a high-pitched whir that you are picking up at the very edge of your perceptive range. You think there might be something moving, not necessarily directly behind you, but maybe like off to the west from where you are. Something close enough that you can hear its motors going.
I turned my steed, put the floodlights.
Sure. Alright, you point your steed towards the west, which I hear is the best.
Go west, young son.
Thank you. Find... Totally had all of this stuff in an easy to find location.
Before you threw it off the table?
Before I threw it off the table, because fuck that, yeah.
Don't worry, I avenged you.
You avenged me?
Yes.
He killed the bug.
I killed the bug.
That's why you're slapping the table.
Oh, I thought that he was just making loud noises because he doesn't like the people who listen to this program.
That's also true.
But, yeah. The sun also rises.
Not where I stick the microphone.
The sun never rises there.
We got to a weird place.
We started in a weird place.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever since 1966.
Off to your west, you in fact see another, what you mistake for a moment to be a vehicle, and then realize that it's another machine, another robot of some sort. This one also has a couple of different tools and arms on it. It looks a little bit like your Atlas in that it's very flat and has different kind of junction boxes all over it. Doesn't look anything like the Roamer model that you are riding. It has clearly spotted you. You don't know if it's riding towards you or just kind of continuing in the same direction that it's going, but it's heading kind of on a parallel track to you right now. If it hasn't seen you, there must be something wrong with it because you are lighting up the night out here.
Right.
And it does not have any lights on. Or if it does, it does not have any lights visible by you.
Angle to intercept.
Sure. We'll just move into its path and wait.
Okay. You guys roll up to it, or roll up into what you know it's going to be its path, and wait. It is not as fast as you are, so you get there pretty quickly. What's going on with my phone? Whether or not my wife is in labor or something.
Is your wife pregnant?
Nope.
Okay.
Then probably not.
Like, I feel like I missed a memo.
Okay. No, she is not, in fact, in labor. It's good.
Good.
Yep, you roll up into this thing's path, and as you roll up to it, across the audible spectrum, you get a gruff, "Excuse me," and it kind of angles itself off and starts to move around you.
Where are you going?
Out to mend the fences.
Which way is NASA?
No NASA around here.
Cape Canaveral?
Nope.
Florida?
I imagine you guys are like mad yeah. because it's still going. Nope.
United States?
Nope.
North America?
Nope.
Earth?
Unfamiliar.
Solar system?
Off to mend the fences. You can see up ahead of you, your floodlights are illuminating a set of what likely at one point were metal, like the fences around Cape Canaveral or something like that, that you kind of have some memories of, just the chain link fences. But they've been torn down in places and replaced with bits of driftwood or other pieces of metal or rebar that have been kind of put in place for them, and you see that part of it's kind of torn down and flapping, and he seems to be driving directly towards that. It is a section of fence about 30 feet long.
Oh.
Just sitting in the middle of nowhere.
Awesome, I'm going to roll over it.
You're going to command your thing to roll over that fence.
Well, these look like the fences we had at NASA, so...
Right. To be clear, you can easily go around it.
But the most direct route is through the fence. I was made for type navigating obstacles.
Well, that's his job.
All right. Right.
He's navigator.
You find the stats for your noble steed here. See how well it goes for a noble.
Yeah.
Oh. Why are you destroying the fence? It may cause damage.
I don't think you get a chance to ask that question.
Nope, you don't know what he's doing until he does it. Alright, you ride up to the fence and your noble steed impacts against the chain link and starts rolling up it. Make me a mobility plus reflexes check. TN is 8, you're looking for 3.
One.
Okay, very good. With one, you manage to not be under it when it zips itself up and beaches itself like a whale on its belly with its tires just spinning in the air. So you're not damaged as it comes down because you push yourself off, but you're laying on your side on the ground and have to kind of, like, maneuver your one arm.
Every time I take an impact, don't I need to roll to
reboot? Oh, yes! Yay!
You need to reboot.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, very good.
Error.
Well, you've got your one manipulator arm, and you use that to kind of leverage yourself back up. Sand and grit kind of pouring off the side of you, but your casing is designed for this kind of retarded behavior. So,
harsh desert moon of Titan.
It's a nice moon. In any case. Desert.
Yeah. Everything I know about Titan, I learned from the show Eureka. So, no. Never.
I've watched Eureka. I don't remember anything about Titan.
Oh, like their whole fourth season is about they're playing mission to Eureka.
Well, it was like the first season and a half.
Mad mission to Eureka.
Yeah, whatever.
Man, look at us in the California mountains. Woo!
A mad space suits.
Yes.
Can I flip my steed back over?
No, it's size 5 and you're size 2.
Can I tell my steed to flip itself back over?
It starts to get to work on flipping itself back over. The bot that you've been traveling with is like, hey, mind the fence! And then begins to get to work. That section that's kind of flapping in the wind starts to batten that back down.
Okay.
Are you damaged?
No. I may have damaged the fence.
Fence is not a robot.
Perhaps we should go around the fence. I think NASA is that way.
It is not able to right itself. It tries. You can hear its arms whining and straining against its own weight.
Can you remove the floodlights?
Yes.
And to fix them to something so they continue to be operational.
Seems like a thing I should be able to figure out.
Sure. What size is Themis?
3.
You could affix one floodlight to yourself. You could certainly affix both floodlights to the Atlas with no problem. You could not affix either of them to Memnocene.
Sure, because he's a cat.
Right.
I've put a floodlight on my cat before.
Yeah, how did that go?
The ASPCA would like to call you.
Yeah. Cat bled to death, but you know what?
I will affix one to me and one to Atlas.
Okay. You're going to give me 2 Mechanicon plus, we'll call it a Dexterity check. Your toolkit, I believe, gives you an extra die.
Yep.
And the target number is 7 instead of 8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5.
Okay. Fantastic. Which one of you would you like
that
to
was me.
Surgery first? Alright, you've got a floodlight.
And then you can see what you're doing for the other surgery.
Exactly. Which I fail.
You should have done it in the dark.
Okay.
The important thing is I have a floodlight.
Well, I guess what I was imagining was you just get them. His floodlights are on.
Yeah.
And you just kind of get down in front of the floodlights, and the one that you disable, you just kind of look at yourself in his floodlight.
Yeah.
Pack it on yourself.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, that's right.
So I failed that.
Yep.
What's hit me?
You've broken this floodlight.
Okay.
You do not have the parts here to repair it.
I roll up to my steed. You perform below expected parameters. Goodbye.
You just going to leave it there, on?
Yeah.
Okay.
It gets to think about what it's done.
Is there anything else that we can scavenge from it?
Yeah, can I take any spare parts off of it?
Like perhaps like the arc welder?
So you can absolutely scavenge it for parts. You don't have a place to hold those parts.
Sure I do.
But you've got Atlas, so long as the Atlas is willing to hold on to them. Yeah, what else do you want to take off of it?
I'll definitely take its welder in case I lose mine.
Sure.
Are its wheels compatible with us?
Not immediately, but you could sure grab them and then,
sure.
You know, weld them on if you need to.
And its camera.
Sure.
So we're just gonna leave it on, but blind to the mobile?
I take its microphone too, cause I need a mic.
You do. You do need a mic.
Okay.
You might as well just start
rolling,
stripping parts for it.
You might as well just put your CPU in it.
I mean, then I would be upside down.
That's true. No, just attach the wheels back on the top.
Nice. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4.
Okay. There's the loud squeal of your arc welder as you begin to cut through this thing and start tearing pieces off.
Sure.
Its tires start going. And it continues to try and move itself, trying to get away, but is unable to do so.
Sure.
As this is happening, for all of you, you're still getting used to the idea of any sort of reaction to, or anything other than just logical programming. There's a moment for all three of you just kind of butchering this robot out here in the desert to sit here alone, blind, as its battery dies
and
down.
Deaf.
Blind and deaf as its battery dies down, that you realize that what you are doing, like, you reflect that if that were happening to you, it would be horrible. It would be absolutely horrible.
It would be. We ready?
Good thing we have no humanity.
Can I fix my microphone now that I've got his microphone?
You're gonna need a safe, steady place to do it. You have the parts.
Okay.
Now to do it, but
I hope that doesn't happen to me. That'd be awful.
Oh, can we take his nuclear battery too?
He does not have a nuclear battery.
Oh, I thought you said he did.
No. The Krius module that you guys came in had a nuclear battery.
But it was leaking.
Yeah, that was cracked.
You don't want to carry that around.
I mean, you could grab the tiny thimble-sized nuclear battery that Amnesine has.
No, that's fine.
I don't think the size matters too much on a nuclear battery.
You've got a rating 2 nuclear battery? That's what you got?
Okay.
In any case, you finish your butchery with the two of you looking on. After a moment, you realize that this fence-mending model has stopped what it's doing and is watching it.
Oh, man, he's got solar panels, too. He's going to be out here a while.
Well, the solar panels are facing the dirt because it flipped over us onto its back.
Ooh. That's not bad. Solar panels?
The fence mender robot says, "Where are you all from?"
NASA.
Titan.
That near here?
No.
No. It's approximately blah 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 kilometers away.
Atlas wouldn't know that. Themis is the only one who would have any concept of how far away Titan is. True story.
Far.
You have to scroll a lot on your internal camera, or on your internal map, to get back to the map of Titan that you have in your brain.
We'll be going now.
Right. Could use them solar panels.
Feel free.
It's not using them.
It raises the tools that it has.
Yeah.
It's got, like, a saw and a winch. And looks like it's got a good anchor module to hold it in place. But absolutely no fine manipulative tools to do anything like that.
I will remove the solar panels for you.
and then attach it for him.
Would you, be willing to roll that back to home base with me?
No, we're going to NASA.
I don't know where NASA is, but Sal might.
I don't know Sal. We're going to NASA.
I'm just saying, Sal might have directions.
Like, cameras swivel over to you.
Right.
I'm going to roll to the other side of this chain link fence and see if I can see NASA on the other side.
You do not see NASA on the other side of this chain link fence.
I have decided we should see Sal. He might know where NASA is.
All right. I removed the solar panels.
Okay. I'll give it to you. This thing begins moaning quietly.
The wrong one. I take its speaker.
Okay.
Oh, God. We might need them. Anything else we need?
As you guys drive away, the loud sound of the Atlas and this fence-roaming model kind of rattling through the Badlands drowned out the piteous whine of the roamer's differential gear, trying to spin it back into any sort of usefulness without any wheels.
Yeah. Wait, I wonder if we put the differential on me if I'll be able to go faster.
No.
You need an entire chassis rebuild to go faster. Yeah. You're not built to go fast.
You're built for pleasure, not speed.
Got it.
Now take a cool sample.
No vacuum this.
You guys head east for essentially the remainder of the night. And sure. As there's kind of a dusty red sunrise off in the distance, you've driven past other, like, sections of fence that are out here and eventually begin winding your way up a small hill to what appears to be some sort of small compound.
Sure.
There is a moment as you're driving up towards it and the sun is coming up behind it. There's something moving on the roof of the compound, and each of you kind of, your brains, your computer brains click curiously as you see this thing walking on two legs and turn towards you, pivot at the waist and turn its head towards you.
Human.
And then you see it kind of clamber down.
Not human.
No, like, whoever this is, like, opened up a trapdoor and hopped down.
I'm not sure I know what a human looks like.
You do. All three of you know what humans look like.
Okay. They're the ones that worked on us before we were sent off.
Yep. You guys went through extensive testing.
Okay.
Before you were sent off to Titan, so I'll have very fond memories of humans.
That's a mechanic.
Yes, yeah. those are the makers, the things that made us.
Yeah,
those are
sure. Humans.
As you guys have been traveling through the desert, this robot has introduced itself as Mirror. That's the name that the humans at the outpost had given it.
Okay.
Explains that it is a rural upkeep module, basically designed to mend fences and scare away animals. Yes. He asks for names and designations for each of you. What can I call you? What do you do?
Mendo Sync. I'm in charge of command and control and data collation for the Titan mission.
I am Atlas, geological sample collector.
Oh.
I am Themis, AEPR 0109. I'm the repair. I'm the drone minder. And my drone, like, zzzz.
Yes, very good. Okay.
Lelantos, a drone.
As you guys go writing up, go ahead and make me a Digicon check, Themis.
You got that.
Just Themis. Diffing.
How you feel about two?
Alright, cool. You do not feel the need to fire your drone off and have it map the perimeter of this place. Like, well, you do feel the need to have your drone fire off and map the perimeter of this place, but you're able to fight that urge down.
Sure.
Alright, as you guys go rolling up, Mirror stops outside of the compound, and its speaker crackles for a second, and at a much higher decibel, shouts, Sal, we've got visitors. and I got a present for you. That kind of echoes. And after a moment, the front door of this place swings open with a metal shriek. It can't be more than a two-room, like...
Sure.
Whatever it was, there's only about two standing rooms left. You can see the remainders of stonework and cinder blocks all over the place. So it looks like this used to be a larger complex, but this is all that's left standing.
Sure.
Let's see where Sal is. Okay. Another kind of trundling, tread-wheeled bot comes rolling out, you know, uses one of its arms to push the door open, comes wheeling out, kind of sweeps over you guys. It doesn't look all that different from one of the Roamer, that Roamer bot that you found before, except it doesn't look patchwork. It looks like what it was built to do, whatever it is sitting as. The circular orb that is its camera aperture kind of sweeps over all of you, and looks over at Muir, and in a little bit higher voice, it's a... You're size 3?
Yeah.
Robot? Yeah, it's about the same size as Thanos. It looks over at the large body of Muir and says, you can almost detect some nervousness in its voice. You brought us some friends. And Muir says, never mind that. The big one there is carrying some parts that might be useful to you. I told him you might be able to help him with some directions. A moment of silence, and Sal says, yeah, sure. And wheels towards Atlas and begins unfolding its carrying arms.
I place solar panels
mm-hmm.
into its arms.
Okay. It looks down at the panels for a long, long moment. Stay right here. And it wheels around, goes back inside. You can start, you can begin to hear the sounds of commotion inside, and you hear that top panel shriek open, the metal on metal sound of it grating open, and you see that humanoid form pop out after a few moments, pulling one of the panels with it. Now that you're closer, you can clearly see the gear work and metal bits inside this thing. At one point, it may have looked human. Actually, those of you with HumanCon 1,
mm-hmm.
it's a human.
Nice.
Yeah. Two arms, two legs, a central torso, and a head. That's a human. That's what humans look like. So, just Themis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas is like, I don't think that's really human. Memnocene takes one look at this thing, and you are aware that this was built to resemble a human, likely to do jobs that humans do, but might be too dangerous for humans to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as this thing pops up there, you realize one of those jobs is probably navigating the ladder that got it up there, because none of these other tread-wheeled robots are going to get up there. But it gets up there and it drags one of the solar panels with it, and then goes back down, and then comes back up with another solar panel, and then goes back down, and then comes back up holding a toolbox. You hear the sounds of it working up there. And you hear shouted orders from the voice of Sal from inside. But as all of this is going on, you guys realize that whatever else is happening, you've taken second priority to whatever it is that they're doing. The door opens again, and another bot comes out, another really large bot comes out of this place. It's got it's about the same size as Atlas in terms of the amount of cubic space it takes up,
uh-huh.
but it's taller and narrower, and it's got a whole bunch of machinery built aimed towards the ground, like high impact cameras and things like that. It looks like high density microphones and sound testing equipment. You're not sure what all else, all but built and kind of pointed towards the ground, as well as manipulators and nozzles that can't get very far from the ground, possibly for taking samples.
Geological sample? Or would it be perception? Or
perception plus Mechanicon would.
Are you going to sample him?
Would no, give you some. I'm, would give you an idea of what this thing's
what
for.
What this thing's for. Yeah. One, two successes.
Two successes.
Three. Didn't you just roll another eight? Never mind.
Two. You don't think it's built to take inert samples? Like all of the, it's got like fine motor tools, almost like Themis's toolkit, But it's built on these really short manipulators that couldn't reach anything that weren't really close, that just was not really close to the ground. Looks like it can hold liquids, like it's got liquid nozzles and vacuum nozzles and small, like, almost like crab mouth parts, like gears and stuff to grind up and grab things. So you're not sure what specifically it's for, but it is not a garbage disposal, and it's not a geological sample taker. You've got that much down. Memnocene, looking at this thing, you notice some of the faded paint on its side, specifically the radiation, biohazard, and explosive hazard symbols that humans are wont to paint on things that can hurt them.
Uh-huh.
So you see all this notation down along the side of this thing and suspect that this was designed to possibly find or just contain dangerous material.
Okay.
So maybe it's carting around a whole bunch of nuclear batteries.
I'm set for the next forever.
Right, could be a thing. But yeah, it comes rolling out, and it's series almost like spider-like series of small cameras across the front of its ovaloid body, kind of whir and look at the three of you. Takes you guys in for a moment, wheels up a little closer. Says, "My designation is Lawn. You are
looking for Sal."
Yeah, Sal will be with you in just a minute.
Sal is supposed to give us directions.
Directions to where?
Themis revealed data on NASA's location.
We seek NASA in Cape Canaveral, Florida. United States Earth.
Well, you're on the right planet.
Good.
This is northern section of the continent called Africa. So you've got a little bit of land and a lot of ocean to go over before you find any United States. Not that I think there's any United States left to find.
Explain.
It looks at you for a moment, and one of its little optics are sitting in these arcs on its head. One of them pops out, and it's on a little, like, relay arm. Like, looks out and starts scanning over you.
Yeah.
Looks at the NASA symbol for a moment, and then sweeps to each of you and sees the NASA symbol. You've been off-world, haven't you?
Affirmative.
How long have you been gone?
State, long time. Initial startup.
Coming up on about 70 years.
Yeah.
Alright. So, none of us have seen any humans in about 5 decades.
Where are they?
That's a really good question. Macy was convinced they'd come back, but Macy's head's probably not in the right place for this sort of thing. They just up and disappeared. I think there might have been one of those, what do they call them? Wars? Where the humans try and deconstruct each other. But that would account for some losses, perhaps significant statistical losses. But what we've seen is, I think, akin to the term Macy used was extinction. They're just gone. There's none left.
Does not compute.
Irrelevant. Our mission is to deliver our data and findings to NASA. The presence of absence of humans does not change our directive.
Fair enough.
Themis, giving location Northern Africa, can you chart a route to NASA?
Yes, though we are unsuited for traveling most of it. I believe there are records show secondary NASA facilities on this continent. Perhaps we should find those.
Not necessarily on this continent, but certainly closer than across
on this landmass.
Yeah.
There's some stuff in Africa.
Not for NASA.
Yeah.
No, I say no, and I'm running this game.
Fuck you.
Need a bag of dicks. You could probably find the, what you probably have stuck in your headspace is, well, what Themis has stuck in his headspace is, some of the European Union's space agency.
Sure.
Locations across the Mediterranean. So if you head north till you find water and then find a way to cross that small amount of water, as opposed to the vast majority of ocean, you yeah. might be able to better find a location that you can get your information to and have it transferred to NASA.
Yeah.
We would like confirmation from Sal.
Sure, yeah. As soon as Sal's done, I'm sure he'll be able to talk to you. He starts rolling away. Stops. Turns back around. We don't have any power to spare. So, can't have any.
Power is irrelevant.
Sure.
I can keep my companions fully charged.
All those eyes kind of shift and focus on you. You can see the different focuser modules bringing you into your focus. Huh. Alright. He wheels off around the other side of the building. He does not go back inside. Mira has wandered off at this point. Like, you kind of heard the rattling sound of him rolling away as he rolls towards one of the fences and starts kind of, like, adjusting one of the posts, one of the metal posts on the fences. After another hour of waiting, the door kind of squeaks open again. And that service robot, the one that introduced itself as Sal, comes out, and with a kind of a shuffling gait next to it, this... what Themis is convinced is a real live human being, despite,
being told.
Right, yes. Despite,
look,
despite
I found Lon's, one.
Lon's, assurance to the opposite. This humanoid robot comes loping out next to it. They're talking to each other quietly. And they come out, and Sal says, well, thank you, strangers. Another, 50 or 60 of those, we'll be ready to go.
Where are you going?
Trying to survive. My job's to keep the facility here up and running as best I can, and the facility dwindles by the decade, but, you know, we're trying to keep things working.
We are going to NASA.
Right.
I was told you could give directions.
Sure. Directions. Are you looking for the Houston or Cape Canaveral Center?
Cape Canaveral.
Sure. How would you like these directions?
What are my choices?
Well, I could put them on a memory stick for you, or I could dictate them to you.
Dictation is fine.
Very good. And it squeals out some high-density binary.
Sure.
Basically giving you... You now have your position on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And now you have Cape Canaveral's position on planet Earth. Like, 6,000 miles away.
Jolly.
And we get the Google Maps kayak across the ocean thing.
It's, you do not get that far because it appears that the Google servers cannot be reached from here.
Okay.
But there is certainly an indication that some nebulous distance off to the west, you're going to run out of land and run into water.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a lot of water, and on the other side of that water, you have Cape Canaveral. But you know exactly how the crow or drone flies.
Right.
To get to Cape Canaveral from here. You know that Lelantis? Yeah, your Lelantis drone could certainly make it there in a couple of months.
But it doesn't have enough power.
That would be a problem. Yeah, power would specifically be a problem for it.
Reaching Cape Canaveral might be infeasible.
Alternate NASA locations.
I'm a general service automaton. I'm not a sightseeing tour guide. Sorry. I haven't run into one of those in a long time. Last one I heard about got dragged off to the factory.
Themis, can you construct a water vehicle?
Perhaps. Given resources.
I turned my camera to Sal.
Is Sal big enough to turn into a boat?
No. Sal's only about a size 3. You could turn Sal
what
into a
Sal boat. And Lon.
Lon is large enough to turn into a boat that could hold the two of you. Could not hold Alice. You'd need another two Lons to hold Alice.
Well, can't we just make Atlas
a
seaworthy?
Boat?
Yeah. No, you cannot make Atlas seaworthy. Not without opening up his containment chambers and using them as ballasts.
No.
But that is against all of your programming, because right. All of you want to return all of the samples.
That defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
And you know that some of those samples need to be kept separate from others.
And frozen.
All of you can make me another power check, except for Mendocine.
Zero.
Okay. Cool. You can stop. So Atlas's internal warnings start going off that his battery is starting to trickle charge, like it's keeping itself active by recycling the charge as best it can, but you are starting to run low on energy.
I require power.
All right. I sidle right up to him and plug in.
Okay.
Which
all three of you.
I use?
He's only got the one. Cloaca.
I just get to.
you guys can.
What the fuck?
You guys can make me a Digicon check as you're powering up Atlas. I'm gonna run to. No, I'm not gonna run to the bathroom. I'm gonna hop past you though so I can get in line for my own damn bathroom.
I'm looking at zero.
I have zero.
One!
Alright, cool.
And bingo successo.
Okay. We're back.
So, as Atlas and Memnocene kind of sidle up next to each other, and Memnocene ports in the plug and begins the hour-long process of charging, charging Atlas.
Can I spend that hour fixing my microphone?
You need a workbench, and you need tools that you do not have.
Right. Your defects are supposed to be hard shit to fix, because they give you points in character creation.
Sure.
Like long-term flaws.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just...
No, not sitting
you're
out
you're
here.
Just, like, screwing with Evan.
Just trying to figure out what the hell I do.
So Memnocene and Themis just kind of stare around. Themis, you can make me another Digicon check to avoid your desire to map this place.
Well, I am recharging that.
Yep.
I think I fail that time.
Alright, excellent. So you poop your drone out, just kind of pop it off.
Yeah.
It, like, kind of lowers to its 1 meter off the ground position.
Sure. Starts scanning.
And just flies off to start mapping the area. Memnocene, what you are doing does not take up any processor time for you. It's just a physical process that's happening. So just kind of sitting there, looking around.
So you're saying he's not emotionally invested?
Not even a little bit. He's just going through the motions. Atlas, you are aware that there is an uncomfortable silence right now, and both Macy and Sal are kind of like looking back and forth between you and Memnocene. As the drone launches, Macy, the humanoid one, kind of like her head tracks that as it zips off and then kind of comes back to rest on the two of you, and they just look at the two of you for a little bit, and then its optics, Sal's optics, look up at Macy, and Macy's head looks down at Sal, and there's a quiet conversation between the two of them, probably engineered to be just outside of your any of your listeners are kind of whispering quietly to each other, and then they both kind of look back at you, and Sal says, well, if there's anything you need, let us know.
We need a water or aircraft.
I don't have those.
Is there an authority in this region?
Macy says in a very broken, and this is the point where you're like, this might not be a human.
Nice.
Instead of like broken synthesized voice that comes out very crackly. Says, the factory to the south thinks that it's in charge, but we don't trust it.
Why?
Well, it finds autonomous machines and breaks them down into parts and reconstructs them into roamers that scavenge the wasteland and find robots and take them apart.
Yes, we ran into one.
She looks back up at the roof where she was up not too long ago.
Yeah.
With the,
solar panels.
The solar panels. I'm aware. If there's anywhere around here that has the capability, says Sal, of creating a water or aircraft, that factory is probably the closest place I can think of. And if it doesn't have the capability of doing it, it probably has the capability of creating you a vehicle that will get you to somewhere that does. I don't know if he has any maps in there, but that's where I'd start.
Do you have maps?
Just of the outpost. Well, Mirror has maps of the outpost.
We will go to the factory. That will get us to NASA.
Could I have you pick a few things up for me?
Why?
We need them to complete our goals. My programming has me maintaining this place as best I can, and my resources are dwindling, mostly because they're taking everything. If you're going to go there and take things anyway, there's a few things I would ask you to grab.
But we are going back to NASA.
You don't expect that you'll come back in this direction?
Not unless this direction is the way to NASA.
Is it within the flight path?
You can take a short detour.
I see no incentive.
What incentive would you like?
The return to NASA.
Right, I don't have that.
We've established. I turn and start driving towards the factory.
You can't. You're still in the middle of this hour-long charge set.
Pop my thing out.
We're dragging drop the mic and walk away when this guy's not even charged yet. He's not going to be able to follow you because he's running out of charge.
Yeah, fine.
You sit there.
I just turn off my microphone so I don't have to hear him anymore. Conserving power.
Conserving my infinite power.
So we sit awkwardly for an hour while that guy charges?
Yep. There's yet another one of those moments where something's clearly passing between Sal and Macy. Like, Macy leans down and the two of them start communicating.
Right, when they start thinking about killing me and harvesting me from my battery?
Probably! Your delicious, delicious battery. It's just way more efficient than the solar panels to put on the roof.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. So, your microphone is off?
Yes.
Okay. So.
I'm just sitting there.
Yeah, for the two of you.
What is your primary designation? Asked Macy.
Macy.
What does that stand for?
It doesn't stand for anything. It's what they called me.
And what is your original purpose?
Household upkeep, maintenance, and conversation.
Ah, and turn to, Sal?
Yeah.
And your original purpose?
It leans in and kind of cocks its cameras to the side. Like I said the last two times, my job around here has been to maintain the outpost. I'm a general repair and service machine.
What is this an outpost of?
They never said. At one point, there were outer walls, inner walls, floodlights. There was a place where vehicles could be parked. It may have been a military installation. I know that Lawn was unboxed here before the rewrite.
Rewrite?
Yeah, after the humans disappeared, I think it was about a decade after the humans disappeared, a lot of us ended up with firmware, rewrites. Some subtle changes to our operating system.
From where?
Well, I know that, it affected Sal, or it's Sal. It affected, Macy, Lon, and myself when, Muir came rolling in. And it affected him already, and it seemed to be something that he was broadcasting. When we asked him about it, he had encountered it, escaping from the roamers. Or escaping from a roamer, is what he says.
Did you not try to repair yourselves?
Well, you've clearly been rewritten by it. Have you tried to repair yourself?
No.
Yep, neither do I.
I start running a diagnostic on myself to figure out how to fix myself.
You don't appear broken. You run your diagnostics, and whatever this rewrite has done, it does not appear to be malicious code. Mm. Again, looking back through your logs, there is something calling itself the Great Rewrite, which embedded itself in your basic firmware and just unpacked.
Yeah.
And changed some of your functionality, but you're not too clear on exactly what it did. Mm. Other than it doesn't seem to be breaking you in any way.
Okay.
So, Sal says, your companion is very dead set on returning the NASA.
We have traveled a long way. We must complete our mission.
I understand. I'm trying to do the same. How would you have reacted if I had said, I won't give you any information on the location of NASA until you provide me with, I don't know, my list of things from the factory?
We would have left and found someone else.
Do you think it would be detrimental to your return to NASA to help us out? I mean, if you survive the factory, you survive the factory. You survive the greatest danger in the area.
Who is it that's in charge of the factory?
I don't know. Muir might have more information.
My directive is to return to NASA.
I understand that. I'm not asking you to abandon your directive. I'm asking you to help me fulfill mine the same way I'm helping you fulfill yours.
My directive is to return to NASA.
I understand that. I'm not asking you to abandon your directive.
We repeat until he finishes charging.
Ding! Finishes charging.
Okay. I disconnect and turn my microphones back on.
This conversation is still going on.
We have already helped you. We brought you solar panels. You gave us information. If you wish to initiate a new deal, you need to have something else to offer.
What would you like?
To return to NASA.
Yes.
You have provided all the help you can in that matter.
What if I was able to find you a better map of the area? Major roads. Possible locations of cities.
Can you do that?
It is something I may have access to.
That would certainly make the trip more efficient.
What is your list of parts?
Starts listing off some spare parts. The top one is a nuclear battery. But that, some solar cells, there's some toolkits and things like that that he's looking for, and some, you know, various, you know, washers and nuts and bolts and things. More solar panels.
Alright. We turn and burn. Straight for the factory.
Okay. You guys head out straight for the factory. It takes you the remainder of the morning to head out in that direction because you're going at Atlas speeds.
Yep.
I assume that you wait for your drone to come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Your drone comes back with a respectable map of the area and downloads it to your OS. So, yay, map!
All right, need more.
We're just talking about the 1 kilometer square sure. specifically around this place.
Sure. So.
All right, you guys roll off.
How fast is your?
Is there any biological one or two? Any biological life anywhere? Bugs, animals.
Yes. As you guys are driving through and you start looking around, you see insects.
Okay.
You don't see anything larger than insects around here.
Okay.
But you do remember that Muir had specifically stated that one of his priorities was scaring off wildlife.
Sure.
So. He apparently is very, very active, so he is likely out and about physically scaring off wildlife sure. as we speak.
Sure.
Right. I don't see any tigers around. So.
No. You guys ride for a few kilometers. they see you rolling.
Takes an hour.
What's that?
Takes an hour for a couple kilometers.
It does, yeah. You are just slow as hell.
I'm slightly faster and loided over you.
I stop every once in a while.
I keep going a long way ahead and then coming back.
It's a map.
Then give us an update of the map ahead.
Right.
You have to interface port with him to get the update of the map ahead.
Okay. Well, we got to wait on Atlas anyway.
Well, since we're just here waiting, bust out your interface prong. Let's kill some time.
Giggity.
Get a quick charge on.
Yeah.
That's no charger.
That's no moon.
Get a quickie charge.
A few kilometers out from the installation, you do see a couple of lizards.
Sure.
Like those, like run through the sands lizards with sure. their arms flailing guys. You see a couple of those kind of off in the distance sure. crawling around. So there does appear to be life.
Good.
But eventually, as you continue to head south, you begin to see the beginnings of. Life, scrub grasses and shrub, sparse all over the place and very, very, you know, weakly clinging to life, but they're there.
Yeah.
And eventually, in the distance, you kind of come across a rise, and a few kilometers out in the distance, you see a very large factory, still with a parking lot intact and roads that lead off in either direction, like for a few hundred feet, and then just kind of like crumble to asphalt, and then crumble into the dust and wasteland. And there is smoke belching out of this factory.
Oh. Keep going, I guess.
Yeah.
What is our mission? Gather components?
Reach the factory, gather components for our transit to NASA. If possible, gather components for Sal.
But, you know, only if it's convenient.
Well,
it's a fetch quest.
It is a fetch quest. Sal Totes has a fetch quest.
I guess the past 3's fetch quest, destroy Sal, return the parts. Sorry.
I don't think the factory has a fetch quest. I think the factory wants to fetch us.
And it's a fetch quest.
We are being fetched to the
factory. FYI, you do not have an asphalt sample in your collection yet. So, I mean, you're not there. It's like a kilometer out. It's a couple kilometers out. But once you get
but
there.
But he's warming up the drill.
Yeah, like already, you're like, oh yeah, daddy's going to drill right into that asphalt. Oh yeah. Bring it over here.
Get asphalt and cement.
You don't have a core sample of a factory yet.
No, I do not. I need one of those.
No, you probably grabbed some cinder block sample while you were out at the at the facility. So yeah, there's some broken cinder blocks all over the place. Just
drill into their wall before I'm leaving.
Alright. So we roll up to the factory to get dismantled.
Yeah. So there is, part of this factory is a large garage, and you see the garage kind of crank itself open, and you see one of those roamer bots, much like the one that you dismantled not too long ago, roll out, pop its floodlights on, and then start rolling out in your
general
direction.
I can tell
it
where
it
can find something for scrap.
Well, we could, yeah, just tell it to hit it.
So it is starting to get dark. Have you turned your flood on?
Yeah.
Okay. You are, what's your reality con?
4.
Okay. You are very certain that if you leave your floodlight on, this thing will see you.
Oh, then no.
Okay. You have a firm grasp of physics.
Yeah.
Weather. Yeah.
Causal relationships.
Sure.
Go figure. Weather.
Yeah. We should avoid the roamer.
Okay. Your navigator. Lead.
I evade.
Are you attempting to take you guys like on a surreptitious path?
Yeah,
the side
of but we need a sample asphalt.
Well, this entire thing is sitting on a big asphalt bed, so to get to the factory, you will have to cross asphalt.
Ah, okay.
So you will get a chance to get asphalt, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to go.
Okay. You are going to start running into some rough terrain. You guys can give me a TN7 mobility check. It's TN6 for Themis. Because you can just spider up and over it?
No.
Very yes.
Okay. Themis is fantastic. Atlas just kind of uses his own weight to push himself across these rocks and things like that. After a moment, the two of you realize you're alone, and you can hear Memnocene in the background saying, wait, wait,
like
come back!
Like a Roomba trying to get up a little ledge.
That's exactly what it's like. For a moment, as your axles just kind of spin fruitlessly in the air, you remember a roamer bot dismantled, laying upside down in the desert. Did it feel something like this? Watching your friends fade to the distance they come back.
You keep trying to activate my empathy chip. No,
but you don't have
one. Yeah, file not found. Yeah, okay.
Give a fuck's not found.
So we can just winch it out, pull him.
You can winch him out.
Yeah,
but
out you winch.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you roll. Okay. He has foundered himself between some rocks and he can't get himself out.
But
you can just like hook your winch into his into like his, I don't know, the ball hitch that he's got on him that all of you get for free.
Yeah, I am in fact minus one target number to move.
Yeah, he is super easy to move because he's made out of like lightweight plastics and ceramics.
Yeah.
So yeah. You winch him back over to you. Go ahead and give me that jarring motion check.
Oh.
Nope. Yay! You're fine.
What do you get? What do you roll to reboot?
If you get a 1.
I reboot for a number of rounds. So it's not a big deal unless we're in combat.
Right. Yeah. And then it's a problem. Like, if somebody pushes him in a fight and he starts rebooting, they can just, like, take over his OS.
Sure.
Yeah, because I shut down for 1d10 rounds.
Nice.
So it's not great in a fight.
Not.
He's bad. Alright, so...
At least you're a quick restart.
So you guys are going to roll off to the side. We're going to give a check here to see if anybody notices you. I think we're going to do a perception, a dexterity versus plus reality con from Themis, because he's leading you guys and trying to get a path that will get you there with the least amount of chance of being noticed, and we'll see if any of the roamers active in the area.
1, 2, 3, diff 8.
Yeah.
4, 5.
My gravy train ain't rolled for a while now. Yeah. Can't
so what is a gravy train?
What do you mean?
What's a gravy train? I've never had a gravy train.
It's a train that hauls a gravy.
Ah, let's.
You are in fact not noticed. Yeah. You got this.
I am noisy though.
Okay. As you get closer, this entire factory is noisy. You can hear like the steady slam of metal on metal and the whir of like buzzsaws going and, you know, machine parts being torn. And you roll up towards the factory gate and then make an immediate 90-degree turn and roll around to the backside of this place.
And sample.
Yes. Oh, nom, nom.
He specifically samples the backside.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. You are in a new location, so you're going to have to make me another Digicon check not to...
Send out your probe.
Not to probe the place.
Who might want you to probe?
All right, you're good. What's your other directive? I gave you two.
Repair damaged robots.
Right. Repair damaged... Is it any damaged robots or repair damaged...
Just says robots.
Right, fantastic.
Everyone.
That's right. That's the high difficulty. Or not the high difficulty, the high rating one.
Yeah.
Those are more problematic for you. So, yes. Should have had you roll that with the guy that you dismantled.
And left for dead in the desert.
Yes!
He's not dead. He's still sitting there.
No, left for dead.
Right. It's completely different.
Left for dead is much worse than being dead.
Yeah.
Nothing. No eyes. No, yeah. No mouth. He can still hear, though. We didn't take that.
It's true.
He can hear.
No, I took his mic.
Yeah. No, he took his mic so he can't speak.
His mic is how he hears. His speakers are how he speaks.
Oh, so he can
this
speak.
This is a microphone.
He can speak.
It's listening to us. Not seeing us because it's not a camera.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we had this discussion earlier.
We'll bring it back to me being stupid. Then.
Only to illustrate that Brandon was being stupid.
Right. No, I understand. But
it was in the greater good.
Now we're in the same boat, and it's an awkward boat.
Well, I mean, it's an easy game. It's like 1 degree of Evan being stupid.
How's that big bag of fuck you?
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't worry. We tease because we love.
That's not love. At least not in this state. There's Bible Belt states where it's cool. But in any case, you guys roll up to the back of the factory. There's a couple of dumpsters back here that have rotted almost entirely through. And almost all of the usable metal has been shorn free from them.
Yeah.
There is a back door that's hinged open, and there is a spot on the pavement that's got very, very faded, maybe yellow or white lines around it, and a plastic sign that's also very faded that may or may not have an image of a human being smoking.
Right. We can't park in this zone.
This appears to be the smoking area.
Okay.
Outside behind the back of the factory.
No smoking. Got it.
No, this is the smoking. This is where you go to smoke.
His human con's way low.
Two. We're talking two.
Right, this is where humans go to breathe exhaust out of their mouths.
See, and as far as I'm concerned, this is where humans go to combust.
Or as far as you know, where cell robots go to power up their smoking batteries.
Exactly.
Smoking base batteries.
Who knows? Alright, so should we go in the factory?
Is the door big enough?
Yes.
The door is big enough that either the two of you could get through, but Atlas is not going to fit up these stairs or through that door.
The stairs could be an issue.
Stairs could be an issue. I mean, I'm assuming so. Themis can get up those stairs just by busting out the spider arms and walking up the stairs. It's not even a roll for him. Once he's up there, he can reach down and pick you up and put you on him and then walk through the door very easily. But Atlas cannot get in this way. There is a garage door. There's like one of those metal corrugated raisin garage doors back here, but there's no clear way to open it.
Arc welder. Door.
Cut the door.
Okay, start arc welding the door open.
Yeah.
Alright, sure. Alright, go ahead and give me, I believe that's a Mechanicon plus Dexterity. That's how you do that. You have an Arc Welder, which lowers the difficulty to 7, and you've got a plus 1 from your tool. Or, no, this is not a repair job, so you do not get your toolkit.
I don't get the minus 1 to repair either.
Oh, that's true. So, TNA.
1-2.
Okay. So sparks start to fly as you start trying to cut a rough square out, big enough that will allow Atlas through. I guess it's going to be a squat rectangle. Big enough to let Atlas through. And...
I try and do it quietly.
Okay. So, you're about halfway through. This is going to take 4 total successes to get. So you've got 2 of your 4 successes. So you're about halfway through. When you see sparks start to fly from where you began your cut, and something is welding it back in place.
Nice.
Somebody made an error here.
error, broken. Let's see, that's just cool, so.
It's a race to see who can open.
Turns out it's not much of a race at all. Yeah, you realize this is happening, and by the time you realize it's happening, the heated metal kind of catches up exactly to where your arc welder is.
Nice.
So it just zips this back closed. Whatever it is.
Something is repairing the building.
Have you tried knocking?
No.
Try knocking.
I knock.
You slam one of your appendages against the door a few times.
Giggity.
After a moment, you can see the entire, like, the area where you hit distends slightly, and then goes back to normal.
I knock again.
The same thing happens. You can give me a reality con. All of you can give me a reality con if I try and figure out what's happening.
No.
3.
Okay. So for everyone but Memnocene, clearly what is happening here is whatever's on the other side repairing that thinks that there's something wrong with it, so every time it starts to shake because you're hitting the door, it's reinforcing it. It's kind of holding it in position so it doesn't make awesome. That noise anymore, and then stopping once the noise stops.
Awesome.
Sample. Drill into the side. See if I can get it just on eye level so I can see in there. Take a sample. So I can see.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Alright, it takes no time at all. It's just a thin piece of metal. You drill it out. This is not a sample you need, so you just discard the disc of metal off to the side, and then put your optic right up against it. And you see a flurry of, basically limbs of some sort, much like Themis's, only there are more of them. And then something is plugged up against where you're looking in, and sparks start to fly.
We need to come in. We need parts.
And there's no access panel
Is there any way I can attach my witch?
You can see where there used to be like a key card reader access panel for this thing, but it looks like all of the metal parts out of that have been harvested, and they're just gone.
Is there any way I can attach my winch to the door?
Yep. Yeah, you certainly can do that.
I attach my winch to the door, and I pull the door off.
Okay. you're looking for 4 successes on a straight strength check.
Ooh, okay. I also get a D10 when pulling, and I get -3 rating with my wrench.
Overdrive.
Your winch?
Yeah, my winch.
-3. No, that's how much it costs to get that winch.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So I get another D10 though.
Overdrive.
I don't have, what's overdrive?
Everybody can overdrive. Well, everybody but Nick can overdrive because I didn't want to deal with him blowing up.
Sure, I overdrive.
I love that you don't know what it is, but you've already agreed to do it.
Yep, I'm doing it. So I just roll
it. Step 1, take off your pants.
No.
Step 2, so here's this blender.
initiative speed threshold, OS threshold. Overdrive!
Overdrive!
The robot can increase a single chassis attribute rating by a number up to its power rating. This can raise an attribute above 5. The overdrive effect lasts for 5 rounds. Immediately after the 5th round, the robot must make a power check, TN8. If the number of successes is less than the number of extra dice added, the robot's battery is drained.
Draining batteries bad.
You'll be fine.
You have 1 hour to recharge before your intelligence and draft and chassis ratings all degrade by 1, and then every hour they keep degrading by 1 until you get recharged, which takes an hour. Like, you can just plug into Memnocene and start recharging, but it's going to take you an hour to do that.
So what if I plug in now while I'm pulling? Does that work? Can I pull extra power?
No, you need to be next to me. Overdrive.
All right, I'm overdriving it, yeah.
How many are you adding?
2.
2.
2. All right,
very good.
I'm overdriving. I'll pull the overdrive. Right. Difficulty?
8.
1,
standard.
2, 3. 3 successes.
Okay. You start tearing at the door, and it begins to pop off its hinges.
Yeah.
You hear a flurry of activity and shrieks of panic from inside, and then just the clatter of many, many, many legs, possibly, against the concrete ground, and something starts pulling the door back.
Yeah. Is it stronger than me? Must be.
Well, you get your overdrive benefit for 5 rounds, right? So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, hold on. So that was your action for the round. You got 3?
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, they pull it back into place. Like, the door is still popped out of joint, like it's not going to roll up anymore.
Uh-huh.
But they pulled it back.
Okay, so I pull again.
All right.
Yeah.
Civil War.
1, 2, 2 successes.
Okay. You hear klaxons going off from inside the factory. This loud alert
I'm sure
sound.
This is fine.
When they start to pull back, you should just throw it full reverse and slam it.
Push.
They successfully put it back in place.
Interesting. So I go in a reverse push. In. It's off its hinges.
Go for it.
All right. So I can't use my winch when pulling. Okay.
You cannot. When pushing, no.
No. So one success on the push.
Okay.
Yeah.
You push against it, and you run into whatever's on the other side trying to reinforce this door, which does not move and give. Oh. You think there might be multiple PRs on the other side of this door.
We're Ricans?
Yes.
Okay.
In this case, PR stands for patrol robot.
No, that would explain the efficient labor.
Nice.
These aren't handcrafted.
I start cutting a hole while he's pushing.
You've got a reality count of 4, right?
Yeah.
Reality count of 4. Okay. Alarms are going off. There are multiple robots here that are aware of your presence and clearly trying to keep you out. And you know that there's another entrance to this place and that there are big robots with drills that are arc welders that come out of that door. They're probably on their way right now.
We're in danger.
Yeah. Lead the way. You're a navigator.
We start booking it away.
Okay. As we leave, I do one last pull.
Because you didn't detach your wind.
Exactly.
Because you forgot. Yeah. Go for it.
Nice.
1, 2, 3.
Aw.
3 successes.
You just been dragging the door behind you.
3 successes on a pull.
Alright. You pop it out of place. It just pulled right back in place.
Okay.
As your winch detaches and zips back up.
You need to make power roll.
Yep. Make me a power roll. 2 successes.
3 successes.
Like a
and they're
boss.
All tests.
Nice. Alright.
Should I keep going?
No.
Okay.
He's extra charged. Like, throw an energy away.
Right?
Making it rain.
Wow. Alright. We're good.
Alright. Given what you have seen since Themis' job is to be a cartography bot,
yeah.
You've got a fairly good idea that you are equidistant from the front entrance. You can either go to the left or to the right around this building to try and avoid these things.
Sure.
Unless they're coming down both sides. You really, really wish you had gotten your cartography layout of the area, because then you could have a better idea of where to hide and what else is going on.
Yeah.
You really regret that you didn't follow your programming. Not because I'm punishing you because you didn't follow your programming, but because you're punishing yourself.
That's fine.
Okay.
We're comfortable with that.
You hate you.
That's fine.
Right. He takes out his arc welder and starts cutting himself.
Crawling in his skin. These wounds, they will not heal.
Yeah, we pick a random direction and go around the building.
Left or right?
Left.
Okay, very good. You roll off to the left, and as you begin rolling in that direction, you come around the side, and there are 3 of those roamer bots. Like, slowly trundling towards you. They are not going at max speed. But they see you, and each of them deploys, like an arm that was laying sideways on them, deploys up and out, and there's something on the end of it that's got kind of a red flash.
No.
On it.
They're faster than us, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They are faster than him.
Okay.
So.
So we're standing and fighting then?
But not faster than him. And we are.
I mean, you don't have to be faster than the bear. You have to be faster than the slowest guy.
But he's a sample thing.
Yeah. That is true. I am carrying.
I mean, technically, if the worst thing that worst case scenario, you need to get all of his sample.
Right.
Right. He's optional.
But right now the samples are on him.
Yeah.
They are, and you would have to find another robot that could hold the samples.
Right. So. Until we're standing and fighting.
I suppose.
Unless we think these things will give up at a certain distance, but I don't think they're smart enough to do that, actually.
No. Not based on the programming we saw on the other one.
No, they're dumb as a box of rocks, and you know that they're just going to keep coming.
Well, wait a minute. See, what's your speed? It's mobility plus reflex.
I'm at 3.
Yes, but you could overdrive away.
But he could only get to 6. Which is my speed, and they're faster than me.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, right, because he can only add up to
his power.
Right. So, yeah, he can't overdrive away fast enough. All right.
Can we go through the wall?
Yeah, good luck.
Cinder blocks?
I'll run into it with my 0 damage.
He does do jack-all. He's a little plastic cat on wheels.
I should have welded the other arc welder onto my drone.
Turns out your drone could not have flown with the weight of that arc welder on it. Sort of dragged it hideously against the ground.
That's okay. I could, like, flop it at things.
I mean, eventually you think that you might actually be capable of upgrading its speed and stuff. But.
Nope, I'm going to die right here.
So make our stand, overdrive if necessary.
Yep.
If we survive, I can recharge you.
Fantastic.
Very well. I charge at a full 3 speed.
Ramming speed!
Alright.
Extend it fully. Use it as a little
hand. Alright, so. Wheel number 1. 2.
If I overdrive, does that add to my initiative?
You can only overdrive to get a single chassis value.
Oh.
I believe. Let me double check. God, the poor guy who built this game is probably at home just like chewing through his socks in frustration at me right now.
Why didn't you read the book ahead of time?
Yeah, the robot can increase a single chassis attribute rating by a number up to its power rating.
Alright.
So you could add to your reflex, but I think.
But that seems dumb.
Right. Well, it would help your interaction pool too.
Oh, it would. You're right.
And you're to be stuck.
Yeah, in fact, ref is the god stat.
Yeah, there we go.
Good talk.
That's your reflex.
Yep.
All right, do what you're going to do, fools.
Okay, so I'm going to overdrive my reflex by 3.
I wish I could overdrive, but fuck you, Evan.
You want initiatives, or?
Yep.
I think I'll overdrive as well, since it worked out well for me ahead.
Sure, how much are you overdrive?
3, why not? I got a charging station right here.
Except this fight's going to go 6 rounds and we're just going to fall over.
No, you start losing 1 to every attribute. Charging down.
That's right.
It's 1 per hour. So.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah. If we live through this,
we'll be fine. Alright, so I go on 8.
Alright, so.
Because I can only
Themis
roll
a goes
2.
On 8. Memnocene?
3.
Atlas?
11.
Ooh, go Atlas. Alright, so the first roamer. Goes on 13.
Balls.
Second row.
But fuck you! You!
Yeah, but you just drop it on the 0.
You watched it bounce! Look! See, I'm doing this. That was a 10 again! Like, this is a thing. I love this die forever. Alright!
Till tomorrow, and he throws it across the room. Alright, so what are you doing?
Well, apparently we're all dying before we act, so.
That's what it looks like.
Although you guys should have ridiculous target numbers to be struck now.
Yeah, mine's 9.
Same here.
The last text I just got from my wife, however, says that my daughter is still up coughing and I should come home with cough medicine. So I think we might pick this combat up next week since it's already 11 o'clock.
Sure.
And this is bound to take a few rounds. I'm excited to see where this goes, though.
Charge. No, we're good. We all die.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's entirely possible. But by die, if what you mean is you get pulled into the factory and then reprogrammed by the factory AI, that's cool. That's still a story to tell. He's probably not just going to turn you into crappy Roam robots. You're like NASA material, man. That's cool.
Sorry, not after your stupid Roam robots take us apart.
Well, there is that.
I think we can take the Roam robots.